charge, he could throw them. Yeah.
Pretty accurate.
Yeah.
Okay, because I know
he can charge anything.
You know, but I never, blow up an entire side of a...
charge anything through a stick.
I swear I've seen that.
You know, blow up an entire side of, you know...
And I mean, I'm willing to... I'm going outside of that.
Nor have I ever seen him use his stick to climb a wall with.
Yeah, well, that was pretty weird.
Yeah. I was like, what is this? What the fuck is this power again? He makes electricity. He makes things... Yeah.
Well, he's not electricity.
He charges stuff up with kinetic energy.
Yeah, basically. He destabilizes the molecular structure of things. That's what he does.
Yeah, what I saw, I mean, is the most unique use of his power I saw was when he grabbed this dude's trench coat and held onto it without him noticing it. And by the time he realized that the thing was charged with full energy, he pushed him off and jumped out of the room. The thing blew up on him when he tried to take it off.
I saw one of the comics, he was on a plane, some hijacker took it and he ripped his heart out and blew him up with his, like, charged his heart and blew him up. Like,
pretty
holy
awesome.
Crap.
Yeah,
it's hardcore.
You gotta be a real penis to do that to somebody. Which is part of the problem is that he wasn't much of a penis in the movie. He was kind of like, I don't know. He was like a penis with a heart of gold, you know? With a shaft of gold, I guess.
Is that Charming
Rogue
or something?
I think Liev Schreiber did a good job.
He was well cast. Liev was
going
really,
from him
really...
to, what, Tyler...
Taylor Mayne?
Taylor Mayne, yeah. Going him, it'll be a little whatever, but I think Liev Schreiber did.
No, he was pretty well cast, and he was really consistent throughout everything.
I mean, he's a great actor.
Yeah, he's good. Like, he played it big. You know, he played it husky and muscular. You know, he played it Sabretooth.
Yeah.
You know, and that was really good. He played that far better, I think, than Hugh Jackman has ever played Wolverine. And I'm not even, like, necessarily getting down on old boy for Wolverine. Like, he tries really hard, man. Like, he's got the sculpted facial hair, and he, like... And he buffs out as much as his little dancer's body can. And, like... Yeah, I mean, he does, man, and he pushes it hardcore, but he just can't ever quite muster enough testosterone to push past this place where I swear to God I think he's going to, like, break into dance, you know? where he's going to river dance on me or something. And it's like, I'm sorry, I get it, you know? I get it. But, like, the hair and, like, with the hair on the face and then, like, the clothes and then the screaming and then, like, you know, the bulging muscles and then all of it, the whole thing together, he's still a bit of a dandy. And it's not even your fault because you're pretty good at what you do. It's just like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
The effects were like Bob's special effects or something, weren't they?
I thought so, especially that explosion, the helicopter, and he's walking away from it.
That was really tragic.
Yeah, that was
really tragically bad. What a great opportunity to
do something
stick
different.
Your claws in somebody's eye sockets, but not.
Yeah.
Instead, be really dramatic. Because that's what Wolverine is, right? Wolverine's totally a walk off into the sunset, you know, and, like, light the aircraft fuel on fire while he walks away and sort of laments his passive-aggressive murder of his enemy. Oh, wait, no, he isn't. I'm sorry, I keep getting this confused.
Yeah.
That was really, really awful. So, I mean, what was good? 80% of Gambit was good.
Yeah.
The thing where he turned into, like, a pussy, by which I mean sort of a nice guy at the end, that was pretty stupid.
They had,
Sabretooth
was
really... Sure, you know.
Captain McCard's walking. And his little one cameo.
No, we're talking about good things. Oh. We're talking about things that were good.
I like him as Xavier.
Whatever. He's fine. He didn't need to be there. It's like, oh, thank God. I feel so much better. I can go home knowing that this actually does tie... Look at it. Tied up. It's so nice and neat. And nothing sucks except for the fact that they completely ruined the character.
Yeah.
Made it completely impossible to ever do anything interesting with Deadpool. Thanks a lot.
And, you know, like we were saying last night, I always thought that is the whole process of Weapon X is what gave him amnesia, that it made him, like, wipe his memory. Not
yeah, that was really bad.
Adamantium.
Boy, that was
shot,
like,
to the skull.
Oh, my God. That was an edit on top of another edit on top of a long writer's room meeting about how do we make this happen because we realized we can't film the shit we wrote or something.
Well,
it's like,
you shoot him in the head with many bullets.
Yeah. That won't kill him. He'll just heal. But his memories won't heal. What? What the fuck are you talking about?
Crap,
it was horrible. And, like, I thought they did a decent job of dramatizing the process a little bit, although it still made it look a little bit too quick and easy. But like they went out of their way to explain, like, this is the most horrifying thing that has ever happened to any human being ever, regardless of their degree of mutation. Like, I've been through worse. No, fuck you haven't, motherfucker. It's gonna suck.
Yeah.
And like they built it up to such a point where it's like, dude, if it shatters his psyche at this point, that's really cool. Like, you finally, you've explained that. And it wasn't that. Like, he totally recovered from that, you know, like he streaked in front of an old couple, you know, and then stole their motorcycle after they were dead or whatever. And it's like, that was fine. I didn't mind that shit. Getting shot in the head, though, totally ruined all of his memories of every... It was, oh, God, what horseshit. Horseshit explanation that was.
I thought it was a girlfriend was Japanese, too, not Canadian well, mountain... I mean, yeah, I know
point,
this is...
Yeah. It shouldn't
not,
be comparing it to...
No, you're making bad decisions. You're making really bad decisions there.
She faked dead with hydrochlorothiazide.
Yeah, right. Or whatever.
But the only part I loved about the movie were the opening and then the title sequence.
The title sequence was really well done.
After that, I was pretty... After watching all of it, I was like, all right, where's my silver lining? Okay, fine. Title sequence was really good. I like
it. I sewed his mouth shut, your silver lining, and gave him everybody's powers. Yeah, the silver lining would have been, hey, check out this little cute dovetail into a Deadpool movie.
Yeah, totally.
But no, they took your silver lining and they tied it in a knot. And
what
then
ending
they,
credit
and then they took a
get?
Shit on it.
What ending credit thing did you get?
His
hand.
Hand picking up his head.
Okay.
What did you get?
I didn't get one.
What? Did you leave?
No, I didn't want... I didn't... I watched it somewhere else.
I see. I see what you did.
Mine didn't have anything on the end of it. Yes, I got up and left. I'll okay. just leave it at that.
Right, good job.
I've just heard there's multiple things out there.
I heard the same thing, but I haven't been able to corroborate that at all.
Yeah. Really?
So, I don't know. It doesn't help.
Two different ones.
Yeah.
I can't remember what the... I know that one. There's that one, and then... Oh, Wolverine's in a bar somewhere. I don't know what the significance of that is.
Right.
He's hanging out in a bar somewhere, and something goes on there. I don't know.
Huh.
But yeah, there are two different ones. Floating around. So.
Three X-Men walk into a bar.
The fourth one ducks.
Yep. I was giving you the opportunity to do that.
Now, do any of you guys know, were Sabretooth and Wolverine brothers?
In the origin story that this apparently was supposed to be based off, yes.
Okay. Cool. At least I got that right.
But see, here's the thing. One of my buddies brought this up, who's not on COG or anything, who was talking to me. He's like, you know, Wolverine's origin is fairly new, you know? They had this character around for years, and then somebody in the, what, 90s, I think they did this?
It's been recently.
Maybe more recent than that. Hey, you know what? We need to give this guy a significant backstory. We need to finally flesh this shit out.
Other than mystery.
You know?
Yeah.
And they did that, so... It's fairly recent, so it's not like you can...
Well, how... All right. Like, I need you to timeline that for me, but at least, like... Because I never read the comics.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't a comic vector that interested me.
I've got that origin book sitting somewhere.
At all. Like, how far back did any knowledge of him go before they created this fleshed-out backstory? Like... You know anything about, like, how he was created, but not where he came from before that?
At first it was like... It's almost like it was in the films that we've seen. At first it was like, oh, Wolverine exists.
You know?
Hanging out in a bar doing his thing. He exists. He joins the X-Men. Then in 2, we got some flashbacks of his little shit going on.
Right.
It's exactly like that. The character was created in whatever, the 60s with X-Men. He was hanging around. Around the 80s, I don't remember the guy that came in there, the writer that came in there and started doing this, but around the 80s they developed the Weapon X program. He still didn't have a history beyond that, though.
Right.
And so, and then, what, 2000s?
I could be full of shit, but I don't think he goes back to the 60s.
Was X-Men, when was X-Men created?
I don't think X-Men goes way back.
Yeah, right. He wasn't an original.
He was an '80s character.
He was an '80s character, that's right, Wendigo. No, Hulk, that was his first appearance, wasn't it?
Yes.
And Hulk, yeah.
Yeah, Hulk was his first appearance, that's right. Yeah, but anyway, he was there. He just kind of came out of whatever, nowhere. And he was just there. And then, later on, a few years after that, the Weapon X thing popped up, and that's how it was like, okay, here's how he got all his shit. This is why he's...
The reason it took so long is a lot of the fan interest was because, you know, He was this badass dude that nobody knew anything about.
Yeah.
The mystery was the character.
Like
right.
Boba
so Marvel
Fett.
Was really... They weren't too keen on giving away a lot of backstory. They were afraid it would ruin the character. So
yeah, once you reveal the mystery, then...
Yeah. So then they eventually
anymore.
Did, like, the whole Weapon X thing to kind of tell the backstory. And then they'd be like, well, some of that's bullshit. It's, like, false memory kind of stuff. But, like,
and
it's also
still
true.
Still didn't have it nailed down.
Yeah, it took a while. But, yeah, like 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Finally
yeah.
figured out who Wolverine is.
Yeah. And it turns out it goes a lot further back than you ever thought. It's
long
like,
after
damn.
Most of us stopped caring.
Yeah, really. I read it and I wasn't too impressed with the thing. I was like, okay,
yeah,
that's
neat. It's been a while since I read comics, but I did read that just to see, and I was like, all right, I guess it's good enough.
Yeah.
So what was it? In a nutshell. How close was it to what we saw?
He was abused by his daddy when he was a little boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The beginning was great because it did that whole thing where he like thinks he kills his dad or thinks he's killing the guy that kills his dad, turns out, and well, that sort of thing, and then, you know, his mom. I don't remember in the movie. Did his mom kill herself?
Didn't show?
No.
Didn't show? Well, in the book, she does that. She's like, after all that shit comes out, her mom's like, cuts herself open, dies. And but yeah, that whole thing there, where that was, yeah, totally right there. I don't remember if they did the Civil War shit. I don't know if they did that whole progression
right.
thing. I can't remember. I'd have to go back and look. But I do specifically remember, because I was like, oh, fuck, he just killed his dad.
Yeah.
Ooh, big reveal, you know? And plus, I think that was the first time we saw him with the fucking bony claws.
Yeah.
So, but after that, it's all in the film.
Right. Okay.
And
well,
not
whatever.
Necessarily in the book.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because then you get into the fact that his girlfriend was Asian, something probably I think was samurais and shit.
Yeah,
too,
I think yeah, she was, yeah,
yeah,
definitely
yeah.
Samurai.
So, which none of that was conveyed in the film.
Well. The film aside, because the film's a piece of shit.
Welcome to In-Game Chat.
The game, like, made my eyebrows do that thing they do when I'm surprised by stuff.
The opening
I was like, whoa,
cinematic of the game
hey.
Was better than the entire film itself.
And then the rest of the game, at least, and I hadn't played a lot. I hadn't planned on playing much. I got a hold of it, and I was like, oh, I'll rent this for a couple days.
I didn't think I was going to be wanting to keep
it. I was like, I'll rent this for a couple days to say I've played it and be like, yeah, well, I gave it as much of a try as I did the movie. And I was like, man, motherfucker. I'm having a lot of fun.
Yes.
Like, this is not a good game. Well, it's not a really good game, but it's a really fucking fun game. Like, this is... Holy cow. Like,
as long as it's enjoyable, I guess.
Clearly, all right, clearly this game's, like, suffered greatly at having to be ready in time for this piece of shit movie, right? Obviously, the superior product was being held accountable to the schedule of the vastly inferior piece of crap. And yes, if it had had more time, it probably would have come out much nicer. But these guys very clearly understood 95% of our game is about schnickting guys with our claws. So we better get that shit right. And they fucking nailed it. Like,
your ability to turn words into
words. Yeah, right.
They schnickting guys.
Man, it's really good.
It
like,
is.
I cannot recommend it enough to everybody in this room and everybody listening. Like, it's fun.
Like, okay, so this guy's ability. The Wolverine's only ability is to fuck people up with these metal claws or bony claws, whatever the fuck. He's got shit coming out of his hands he can fuck people up with. That's his only ability to fight. I mean, that's his weapon.
Yeah.
Doesn't need guns, doesn't need anything else. That is his weapon. Knives on the end of his hand. The movie doesn't have any blood.
Yeah.
He goes through the whole movie, no blood.
Well,
but the game?
Yeah.
Holy shit, that stuff's misting.
Well, it's
all
just,
over the
and
place.
It's not just the bathing and gore. It's just like, dude. You're a whole army of bad guys, right? And as a whole army of bad guys, you see this one clearly disturbed motherfucker who's trying to ruin your plans. Clearly, you're going to throw tons of guys at this other guy, right? As this other guy with knives coming out of your fucking fists, it's your job to kill every one of these motherfuckers. This is what happens. Many gallons of blood are spilt per minute. Large gobbets of flesh are thrown hither and thither. Like... everything gets all fucked up. And, like, it looks cool when it happens. Like, that's exactly what the game does. The game is like, what? Dude with, like, superpowers that has knives on the end of his hands. This is what you get. And really, for the first time, I feel like I've seen what happens when this guy goes to work.
Really?
And besides that, the controls are really tight. They're, like, really intuitive. You ever played an action game on a 360? Like, this is really what it's supposed to be. Like, everything does really what it should. I mean, the boss fights are repetitive. I've already done one stupid thing where I drove in a powerboat or whatever and shot a gun after I had already done a much more satisfying thing of jumping from boat to boat and stabbing guys with my fist.
And much, like, more stylish.
Yeah. Like, and it was, and that was, like, bad. I was like, oh, this is bad. The aiming is bad. It's all bad. But, like, when I'm walking around, like, lunging 40 yards and, like, just jamming that shit into somebody's packs, like,
lunge.
Oh, it's
really,
man, it's just like, God, that part of the game is just, it's there.
Okay.
It's just, it's there. Man, it's good. It's like,
It is.
It's really good. And even, you know, they don't go too far with certain things. Like, the whole feral senses thing kind of, like, helps you find your next objective, sort of gives you a sense of what can and can't be used in a certain situation. And that's cool because there's no barrier to entry. There's no, like, you know, I don't have to have, like, a certain amount of, like, feral juice or whatever in order to use my feral sense.
It does run out, but it takes a damn long time to run out.
It's just pretty much there since you're only using it for, like, a whatever. And, like, there's some dudes what can turn invisible. And it's like, whatever, I can smell that you're right over here. So yes. I'm going to turn on my smell and, like, come stab you, you know? And it's just, and it's like bouncing from dude to dude remind me a little bit of, the way Assassin's Creed played. When you would get surrounded by lots of guys.
Oh, yeah.
Of, like, just kind of bouncing back and forth to keep the combat moving. It was good. It's just, it's got, I don't, you know, it's $60 good, but it seems to have, like, a decent amount of collectibles and secrets and things that you can find, but is absolutely just, and I don't usually go in for something that's so much like this, but it's really commendable for the most part in how the fights work and everything, and just the regular old killing guys. Like, yeah. It's real simple. You're just going to kill some guys. And his combos and everything are not, you know, so outlandish that they seem out of place with the normally outlandish guy with claws in his hands motif, you know? Mm-hmm. But it's good. There's the variety of enemies is not that bad. I mean, the enemy models, whatever, you know, this is guy with machete, this is guy with machine gun. That's
gone,
okay,
you
but
too far.
No, but I mean, but I'm just saying, like, the machete guys all look the same.
Oh yeah,
like machine gun guys all look the same, but there are occasionally, like, there's, like, machete guy who's also on fire.
Yes,
who's a little bit tougher to fight and a little more interesting. There's, like, invisible turning guy. Right? And then there's, like, special, I'm genetically engineered to kill mutants guy. Yeah. You know, like,
it's your regular merc, your special ops, then your ghosts.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know? And then, of course, you've got your little, I guess they're mini bosses. I'm not really sure what to call them because you run into them quite frequently, actually. And, yeah.
So they're micro bosses?
I don't know.
Nano bosses?
That Leviathan that you fight, you'll fight them again later.
Yeah, it's like four or five of those.
You'll fight the Wendigos a couple of times or the,
And it all kind of amounts to the same thing, you know.
Is Deadpool, like, the final boss?
Well, we haven't gotten very far in.
Oh, you haven't heard?
As I understand it, maybe, sort of. I know. I have no idea.
So far, it hasn't. Well, I suppose it's followed the movie, but.
Ish?
But in a sense, of course, everything is so much more fleshed out. You know, your Weapon X facility in the film lasted a good, 10 minutes, 15?
Around there.
Yeah.
Whereas the level's got to be a lot longer.
Well, and it's much more involved.
Yeah.
And it's like.
Yeah. Because you lose your shit.
I injected you with a something, and now none of your stuff works. You don't have, like, smell-o-vision or, you know, your recharge-o-matic cellular whatever. It's like, so you got to get those back. But first, here's all your stuff, right? And, like, yeah, you could meet up this doctor. She's like, I kept all your stuff. So here's all your stuff, right? Because that's what she says. I kept all your things or whatever. And it's like, so now I'm in jeans? Like, that's all my stuff is the shitty jeans?
That's okay, because I found the, whatever, there's a code you can use to unlock. If you bought a certain version of the game, I guess maybe the Uncaged Edition or something comes with a, or Best Buy, I think, comes with a code to unlock one of the costumes. And so I've got him in his old yellow and blue.
Oh, nice.
That's cool.
Yeah, the original
outfit, yeah. So, yeah.
How do the special outfits react to his procedural damaging?
Same way.
Okay.
Tattered
and disgusting?
Yeah.
So you look like a hobo?
The procedural damaging is very... I was telling James this earlier. I was like, any other game I probably would have knocked off for this, but just to see him get beat the fuck up,
yeah.
And like you can see like metal body parts... Like, he may not have muscle tissue on his arm at all.
Yeah, right.
Boy, he can still move that fucking
arm. Like, I had pretty much my entire chest torn off, but I did a triple somersault and then stabbed somebody in the face, and it was beautiful. How the fuck I did that without any stomach muscles, I don't know. But whatever. It doesn't matter. It's good. I can only imagine how good it would have been if it hadn't been tied to some stupid movie date, you know, or storyline could have just done its own thing, because clearly it's superior.
I mean, anytime they have a movie game tie-in, it's always going to, you know, it's usually always
better. Well, but it's admirable that it's above average.
Even, yeah.
You know, that it's actually, hey, this is really fun. Like, you should play this.
Last game that did that was Spider-Man 2.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
That was wonderful. A good one.
3 was pretty crappy, but I don't know. I mean, maybe we'll get Deadpool happening in a game. Because that would be nice. Which is supposedly what they want to hear, Raven. Yeah, I know. Right. I like Raven, man. A bunch of good guys. You need to put some Deadpool going on in there, and with some shooty and some smartassery. And we know this guy, what would do a good voice job on it.
He's played Deadpool before.
Yes, he has. Yes, he has. I'm just saying out there for any casting
directors. Well, hey, welcome to In-Game Chat.
We already did that part.
I didn't do the whole thing.
The whole date. Okay.
For
go
May,
ahead.
Cinco de Mayo, May 5th, 2009.
Margarita Day.
Yes.
Yep. Or Mojito Day, or whichever the hell thing you want from drinks from Mexico.
Go get the Coronas. Anyway, welcome to the show. Official podcast, CollieandGamers.com. You can check us out there at the forums, or email us, everyone, at ingamechat.net, or check us out on Twitter, which a lot of people are doing. Everybody's in the studio this week. Everybody's in the studio.
Hey, guys.
It's Jeremy.
I'm back.
It's that guy, but it's Jeremy.
We got Jeremy back.
Welcome back.
Yeah, man. It's good to be back.
Yeah. Don't go like that.
Man. Well, first one wasn't my fault. I'll totally own
okay,
up to
yeah.
the second
we'll totally take the round.
I still don't even know what happened. I still have no idea. I was like, clearly Scott told everybody that we weren't doing a show.
And I'm on the other end going, I'm sure he called me. I'm sure he called Jeremy. But yeah, that sucked. But anyway. Right.
But I caught up like before showing up tonight, so I'd know what you guys talked about.
Well, there were a few discussions we had where we're like, damn it, I wish Jeremy, when we talked about Harley Quinn.
Man, all right. Harley Quinn. That's like two of my points right there.
Yeah.
All right. First off, man, as soon as I heard that voice, I was like, that's Harley Quinn. That's like
it doesn't sound anything
exactly
like it.
Like to me.
I thought it sounded like her.
No, it doesn't sound like her to me.
A little lower.
Because I just watched her on the episodes that Scott had lent me.
Yeah?
And then, like, I heard that... I heard the thing, and I was like, it does not sound the same.
It doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, it does not sound the same.
I watch Batman all the time.
I know.
It's one of, you know, Megan's favorite
shows.
Well,
okay, first off, you're watching the first season of Batman animated series,
yeah.
Which is 94, maybe?
I think it was earlier than that.
Was it earlier
It
than
had
that?
To...
I was in junior high, so...
I was in college.
On the first season?
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Fuck. I don't think we were...
Internet to the rescue.
Dude, I watch that shit in the dark.
Oh, yeah,
motherfucker,
no, yeah,
I like I'd... set my class schedule around the Batman Animaniacs
yes.
hour.
Oh, me too, but at the same... I mean, you know, but at the same time, I thought it started
that was in
before.
Like, and that was in, like, the... No, I don't think it did. Fucking Christ, check the internet.
That's where I'm going.
Internet
anyways,
right
it was over a decade.
I'm not even saying it wasn't. I'm just saying, like, my experience, like, with the first two things, I was like, that sounds like somebody doing a really... good copy of it, but does not sound like her. You know what I mean? Because it didn't feel as jarring as... The others were recognizable as their original voices, which is why it felt so weird to me.
Jesus, 1992.
Yeah.
There you go. I knew it was a while
high school.
Back.
I knew, yeah.
And I knew you weren't in college when I was in junior high, so...
Yeah, well, I went to college in 93, so...
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, you're ahead of me.
I'm a minute or two older than you. Yeah. Yeah, I went to college in 93.
Okay. But, yeah.
The thing for me was that...
I would have been in... I would have been in high school in 93.
Yeah, you should have been.
So, like...
You're probably thinking...
Apparently, like, I lived at a house I didn't think I lived at when I was in high school. When I was
That's always
school.
Really creepy.
Yeah.
Those realizations from nearly 20 years ago.
Because I remember what house I sat in watching, like, the first episode of Batman the Animated Series. And it's not
right.
The house I thought I was living in high school. But at least for most high school. Anyway, whatever.
Yeah. All I know is all those other voices sounded like pitch perfect, spot on to what they had before, in new bodies, so drastically different from the last place I'd heard them. It was jarring
to me. Maybe Scott's onto something with the like first season to later seasons.
Yeah.
A lot of comics, cartoons are that way.
Well, I mean, that could be what, because all I know is I had heard her voice.
We do tend to watch the more recent stuff a lot more.
Yeah.
And apparently WB did a Flash series called Gotham Girls, which mostly focuses on like Catwoman, Poison Ivy, Harley Quinn, and Batgirl. It was just all three seasons of Flash stuff. Really, like 2 to 3 minutes each, about 30 minutes a season. And we're watching that right now. And I jumped in the trailer like, it's Harley Quinn!
No, it didn't sound anything like it. No,
the
like
other
said,
Harley Quinn thing, Scott, tried to make me out of some, Harley Quinn, picture-taking whore.
Yeah, I don't know what he was doing there. I was like, obviously, he's got the inside track on his
shirt. I saw one girl dressed up as Harley Quinn at PAX and took my picture with her from my daughter who loves Harley Quinn.
So
and
he's
like, everybody was dressed up as Harley Quinn. Jerry was taking his picture with. Yeah, all one of them.
Well, we must have chased her around for a while, then.
No, it's that one time.
For me, it was like, they look all the same to me.
You're a Harley stalker.
No, I know how Scott can be on this one, so not having been there, I just can't
thank you.
Be sad.
And not having you here to defend yourself is
right?
Even better.
So I got to get back on that show, man, and
set the record straight.
Because this is going to keep happening. All right, and what was the other thing? Because there were three things. It was like all in that one episode. There wasn't anything in like last week's episode. I was like really like, So, Jack Black and
Tim Schafer's game.
Yeah, and I'm blacking out on the name now of the game.
Brutal Legend.
Brutal Legend. Yeah. What's wrong with me? Anyway, you guys know me, and I'm not a movie guy. I never go watch movies. I've never ever seen a Jack Black movie.
Oh wow!
Ever. I could tell by the previews it wasn't anything I wanted to see. I've seen movies Jack Black was in, but not being Jack Black, and I think they were all before anybody knew that Jack Black was Jack Black.
Yeah, it was before his name was in capital letters.
Yeah, there you go.
Like Mars Attacks or
Mars Attacks and
High Fidelity.
Well, yeah, see, High Fidelity doesn't count because that character was Jack Black.
Yeah.
So he was just doing his own thing, and he was a hateful little prick in the story, in the book and in the movie. So it's like, well, you know. Not acting.
Just show up on set.
Yeah. Here, just put this jacket on.
Yep.
Okay.
But anyway, so I don't have any particular thing for Jack Black one way or the other. He's just a dude whose movies I find uninteresting. But Brutal Legend, I know it kind of plays into Jack Black's thing, the concept, but the concept itself, I find awesome, but also I'm a big fan of Metalocalypse, and I think somebody wrote to us have y'all seen Metalocalypse, and I may be the only fan of it here, but
I love what I've seen. I just haven't taken the energy I suppose to keep up with all that shit,
but yeah, that particular type,
and really
of
the only
like,
thing I've ever seen is it their title sequence, big ass cage drops on all the fans, and then the isn't it one where they're doing news stories?
That's not the title sequence, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's it's one of those things where I tuned in once and that's what I saw, and then three months later I thought, let me tune in again. And it's
the same
thing.
I hate that. Yeah. But anyway, just the game is the whole rock metal comedy thing. I really dig. That Jack Black is attached to him, so it's an actor, trying to be a voice actor and not very good. And the trailers I saw, I love what I've seen of the trailers, except for his voice acting. His delivery just comes off flat compared to all the supporting characters who are really kind of into it and funny. And he's just this guy saying these lines. But it doesn't strike me, having seen the previews of his movies and then the trailer for this game, it doesn't seem to me to be at all like a Jack Black thing. I think his persona just kind of fit what the game was going for, in that it was a rock, music, metal, comedy kind of thing.
So kind of like High Fidelity?
Yeah, there you go.
Where the part fits the real life.
And, if attaching a bad voice actor in the role of the game will help you know, a good game, like words, sell some copies.
Yeah, the game's totally not taking itself
seriously. Get some attention.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Well, but I mean, that was really kind of the conclusion from that, though, was that, you know,
yeah,
I would rather suffer some Jack Black to see Tim Schafer's game come to light than, you know, I mean, I'll bitch and moan, like, rest assured, but yeah, rather than, like if I was, like, making proclamations, you know, and, like, controlling the fate of the universe and everything, whatever, but if, fine, it, not even to see the game, but, like, does this have to happen? Evidently, this has to happen for Tim Schafer's game to come to light. I'd really like to see Tim Schafer's game come to light. Is this a deal breaker for me? It can't be, because I have to see a Tim Schafer game. I do consider it something I have to deal with for the same reason that I felt like Titan AE was something I had to fucking deal with when Matt Damon and Drew Barrymore fucking fell asleep reading their goddamn roles while all the supporting cast out-geniused them 10 times over.
Yeah.
Like, that was really bad. It was bad for the thing. It was like, this is less good than it could have been if you had simply cast two excellent people like you did with all the supporting cast. Like, it was all of the very typical Don Bluth awesomeness in both animation and in voice direction. But, you know,
the two leads.
But your leads, like, are so flat as to be almost, like literally boring. And that's really where I worry. Mm-hmm. And I know that I just, whatever, I've said this 1,000 times. And, like, all I was trying to do in that last episode, the one you're mentioning, was, like, yes, here you go, thing. But I am going to try to get over it, you know. I'm certainly not going to let my hatred for him come between, like, Tim Schafer and my money.
Oh, yeah. And the thing that, you know, you know me, I'm a huge Tim Schafer fan. You know, I've loved all his work. And it's more marketing, the marketing whores that I'm just really pissed off about. That, you know, they're making it such a Jack Black vehicle instead of focusing on the fact that, you know, it's a Tim Schafer game. And, you know, because play any of his old games and you will just fall in love with them because they're just so well written. Their characters are so phenomenally great. And there's such great experiences. You know,
pardon us for a minute.
Hold on a second.
Bad weather.
We're getting something in from the base station.
That was a really bad ad lib.
Yeah, it was.
Metal Gear.
Okay.
Crab battle.
Yeah. This is going to go on for a while, so
yeah, we'll pause it.
Yeah, we're going to pause it and we're going to come back.
We talk about our weather all the time.
We do talk about our weather, and this is what we got to put up with. Plus, we're in a station, and this is what happens. We'll be back.
Say, and you're right. You are absolutely right. He's a guy playing a part.
Okay, we're back.
I didn't really want to belabor the point. I think we were talking about it because we were off air. But the point is, I agree with you, but that's not how it's being made.
Oh, yeah. It's being sold as though, like, well, this game's all about Jack Black.
Yeah.
I don't think
that's what that's all I was trying to say.
Yeah, I've seen an ad where his name is, like, just as big as the title of the game. And I'm just like,
I think that's full of shit. I don't think it's a Jack Black game. I think
I think you're absolutely right. Yeah. Yet another reason not to stress too heavily over it. In fact, we're going to see it at all. That's a great thing. So, yeah, whatever.
What was your other point? That was it?
That was the third point. Two were Harley Quinn, and that was the third one. Third account.
Two were Harley Quinn. Okay. Yeah.
Other than that, like, the only thing I've done really is I played Hawks, and I didn't like it.
See, I was going to say, what have we been playing? And I wanted to start with you, because you're 2 weeks behind.
Yeah.
Hawks?
Yeah.
Did you play as Combat 6?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
Oh. Should I have?
No, it doesn't matter. Fun. It is Ace Combat 6.
Okay.
Like, Canadians or whoever made it. Like, it's I mean, Ace Combat 6 is, like, that thing, Japanese.
Okay.
This is that thing, North American.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? That's that's it.
That explains the cutscenes a lot of Ace Combat 6.
Yes.
I hated them.
They're Japanese, man.
I know. They're all just weird.
Yeah.
Skip.
Yeah.
Yeah. The fighting in Ace Combat 6 was great. I tried the demo for Hawks, and
that's fine. I mean, that's right. And it was like, in my opinion, the most and I did not beat it. I know some stuff happens later on, but whatever, it doesn't matter. The most interesting thing was the first mission. And it's like, hey, Ciudad Juarez, hey, there's the guys I'm protecting, that was me from
that's the thing I'm
a
really
couple of games
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, the tie-in like, with the Ghost Recon.
And I was like, okay, that's cute. Maybe we can keep that up. Maybe we can take... No, we're done with that now? We're completely... Okay, that's not going to happen anymore? Okay. Well, that was a shame.
Because, yeah, I was hoping eventually they'd tie all their universes in. Because, I mean, they're all technically the same universe. You know, get it tied in with Rainbow Six.
Well, there was a great promise of that happening a long time ago, but it didn't.
Yeah.
It didn't really come to pass.
I don't really know what I was expecting. And I guess I've never really played a modern flight combat game before.
Yeah.
So I was accustomed to, like, dogfighting and shit. And I was like, you know, paint your target, push the button.
Yeah.
Go find the next target, paint it, push the button.
Yeah.
And do it before these guys get to that point. I'm like, yeah, I'm not really finding that to be very
fun.
It
did that. I did, five missions? And it did that for all five missions. And I quit playing. And later I was told, no, it gets better. And I'm like, no, I'm sorry, dude. I'm sorry.
I'm glad I didn't go past the second mission. Because
maybe it was just four, but it was something like four. Maybe it was like... Wherever I stopped, I was told the next mission, like, it gets interesting. And I'm like, I've already done, like, four and or five of them. Mm-hmm. Like...
Too late. Sorry.
If it hasn't done it by now, yeah. Like, no. The only thing that I really wanted to keep going for was the airplane porn. That's it. A lot of good airplane porn.
But Ace Combat for that.
Yeah.
You know, but, I mean, in today's fighter jets, it's one of those things that... That's how they are. The dogfighting.
But, you know, it's not so much that I was disappointed that I didn't get to dogfight. I mean, like, I wasn't thinking that through, and I realized that pretty quickly. But, like, the gameplay just didn't do anything for me. I'm sure, like, they could have done something with me in a plane flying around and shooting shit and blowing shit up. That would have been fun.
Yeah.
But...
and I want to say that the more fantastical setting of Ace Combat actually allowed for it to do some more interesting things. In terms of aerial combat and ground support and all this. Like, you fought some weird shit sometimes.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is weird, but, you know, well, okay, you know. There you go.
The big flying wing platform.
Yeah.
That was crazy, yeah, but I enjoyed it.
I mean, hey, what the hell, dude? Like, if you want to make, like, a fly-around video game that's simple and console-y, like... There is a template to follow, or at least there is a direction to look, because Crimson Skies has already blown that shit up a couple of times.
Yeah.
And it was really good.
Secret Weapons Over Normandy, I think, also did it well.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't like it.
It was a good arcade, you know, flyer.
I didn't give it enough time, but I didn't like it. Sure as hell didn't like that Blazing Angels shit.
No, didn't try it.
So, I don't know. Apparently flying is just right out anymore. And
it's out there with Space Sims.
Somewhere out there.
But, yeah, I packed Hawks back up, shipped it out. And,
motherfucker!
Oh.
We're going to deal with this most of the night.
You need to learn.
I don't even know what we're talking about whenever this...
I was saying I packed up Hawks and shipped it back, and I've still got Killzone 2, which I need to try out. Mm. But I took a look at my Gamefly queue, and man, it's going to get pretty heavy here pretty soon, isn't it?
Well, it's a little bit lighter than it was.
Yeah.
Why is that, Scott? Why don't you talk about it?
Because let him do it. He posted the story.
God.
Good picture, by the way. And good story, by the way.
What was the picture?
Batman, Arkham Asylum.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was the picture? Yeah. You want me to talk about the picture on a podcast? Really? Oh, this is what it looked like, Matt. It was a picture of Arkham Asylum from the animated series.
Okay.
So, yeah, very anticlimactic. Thank you.
That's what I'm here for.
That's what I'm here for.
So, yeah, that was interesting. It got... there was a rumor, we've talked to... it was Game Informer. We've talked to some people close to the project. It's been delayed to, like, the end of the summer. They talked to Eidos, and they're like, no, it's coming out on time. And then I was like, actually... It's Arkham Asylum.
We didn't realize the new bosses just got here. Instead, that we were wrong.
Yeah, Square just stuck their heads in and said, guys, push that back.
You're releasing a title like this not in the holiday season? Are you crazy?
See, that's exactly
what I think that's what happens.
I think we're all on the same wavelength. There are a couple of people on the board saying, oh, okay, I can wait a little while.
Well, that's been totally a Western publisher phenomenon.
Yes, it has.
I haven't heard any Japanese publishers talking about, oh, we can, it's great to release things in other parts of the year.
Not that you needed any more evidence, but, like, let's add something else to sort of illustrate the widening gap between Western and Eastern development philosophies.
The same week this game gets delayed is what he's talking about, because earlier that week was when it all got approved.
Yeah. It was like a couple days, like after the thing happens, and then, boom, this is delayed. And what are they saying? Late summer? Well, late summer means August. What does August mean? August means September. Ellen, while you're in September, you may as well push it back to, you know, fourth quarter.
I hear there's a great week in November when we can release our game.
Yeah. And it's like, here's the thing. Batman looked... All right. I think the game is done. Will the game profit by more development time? Assuming that this delay includes more development time and that isn't part of the whole misdirection. And I'm not trying to read too far into it,
but just trying to be
realistic.
Shut your mouth.
Yeah, okay. Sure, everything benefits from more development time according to developers, you know, assuming they don't, like, whittle away too much or load it down with shit that doesn't belong there.
Duke's going to be great.
But, yeah. Let's just... I mean, I'm sorry. If you've gotten your hands on the Challenge Room demo, the game plays tight as hell.
It really is. Nice.
Surprisingly good. The combat and the effectiveness of their fluidity, that control, is very evident, and it's really, really there. And yes, I know that that's just the little challenge rooms, but there's been a huge marketing blitz for this game coming from everywhere. There's no indication that the game was not ready to go. So fine, let it sit back there. But speaking entirely about the game's success, it was standing very tall in June. Very, very tall. Yes, it's technically a new IP, but as far as any fan is concerned, it's already kind of like leaning toward winner, because we got all the right voice people, we got all the right writers, we even have a lot of the right developers, because we know stuff they've done before. Everything points toward success, if you have any faith in what any of these people have done before. Yeah, what did you got? You got Ghostbusters, which is like kind of a whatever thing. And I was personally, if I had to choose between the two of those things sitting in June, I would easily have chosen Batman. Easily.
Batman's my winner over Ghostbusters. Batman's my winner over Prototype comes out there.
Well, there's Prototype and Infamous both sitting there, both completely unproven, new things that look cool, but I don't know. If I had to gather them all up, Batman would have won. Batman was standing very tall in June. Batman, as totally, completely, unbelievably awesome as he looks to be, stands not quite so tall in the last part
of
the year.
Holiday season.
We can talk all we want about the intelligent publishing trends that are starting to develop of pushing things out throughout the year. But big guys, big heavy dudes with, like, you know, giant E-peens, like, they get to do their thing in the fourth quarter. It's just the way it is. All sorts of shit with twos and threes at the end of their name are happening either end of the year or, you know, beginning of next year. And depending on where the Batman thing... I mean, whatever. We still might see it, like, early August, where it can take up the Bioshock slot, which is a really good slot. It's good to do the Bioshock or Halo 3, you know, lead out of summer into fall. That's a good place to be. And if they hit that, then this is all pointless. But if they actually slip into the end of the year... That's not good. It's not good for that game. It's not good for the guys who've worked on it. I mean, it might wind up being good for Square. I don't know. I mean, they didn't have anything going there previously, so... I don't know. It's just, it's really frustrating. It does not stand a better chance of selling well at that time of year.
I get the feeling like Square needs a hit, because I'm trying to think of their last big seller.
Okay, why don't you try to think of their last seller?
I'm drawing a blank.
Yeah. They just need to release a fucking game.
Yeah.
They need to stop twiddling their goddamn thumbs over girly boy hair and weird outfits in Final Fantasy.
That's what the extra development time's for. Yeah. Right.
Hey, you know what? Hey, anybody want to lay odds on whether Batman comes with a demo? For Final Fantasy 13?
Hmm.
Oh, I see what you're saying, yeah. I thought you meant Batman getting a demo, but I see what you're saying. The
comes with a demo.
Yeah.
Not comes with its own demo. That's stupid.
I get the game and its demo.
Only works if you're Half-Life.
True.
Or and Star Lancer.
And it worked pretty well with those.
Anything that decides to have a demo that's unique to its own thing, which is a whole different discussion. But that's really bad. Like, it's bad for a number of people in a lot of different ways. People were kind of looking for it. However, if I were Ghostbusters / Infamous / Prototype, I'd be very happy right about now.
And Overlord 2 now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. June 23rd, I think. But it got a release date for that, so.
Yeah. They just cut down a real tall tree, so. It's whatever. It's kind of a thing. I hate getting that close and then having something kind of pushed back out of the way. When I had just sort of gotten myself to the point where I was, like, it was sort of tangible, you know?
I could smell it. It's like,
I was almost, yeah. I wasn't, you know, I wasn't going to throw down the $10 for that 14-inch stainless steel Batarang. But I know some people already have.
Yeah.
So I don't know when you're going to happen to that, you know? Again, that's more evidence, in my opinion, that the game was, like, close on to done. Because you don't really get into that kind of packaging.
I hope Square doesn't change the packaging. I mean, they could.
Yeah.
And that would really suck.
You know how they can make it up to me? You know how, I mean, I know it's not necessarily Eidos' fault, but you know how Eidos can make it up to me?
How's that?
By announcing the thing they need to announce.
Well, they may do that. May do that on May the 11th.
Isn't that the rumor?
Next Monday.
I wish I had at hand all of the clues that had been given out. This really, really horrible game of guess what we're going to announce next, where they basically told you what it was because they piled clue on top of clue on top of clue and evidence cross-checked with indication that can literally lead to only one thing, which is Thief 4.
Thief 4, yeah. Oh, I was going to say that, yeah.
So, right. I mean, they even went so far as, like, blah, 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 this game, which is, like, a sequel with, like, one of the, you know, that won this award and this award and this award in a series that has, like, one of the favorite characters and starts with T.
Well, I remember, like, online, they even, like...
It ends with Eef.
Yeah.
Even online, they had, you know, one of the, you know, whatever announcements, but, you know, people looked at that and said, that's the Thief font.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they even, going down, like, that's the font for this.
No, yeah, so basically, it looks like they're about to break out Thief, and I'm like, oh, Batman! Thief! Hey, Garrett, what's going on, man? How's your eye? Is it still really awesome?
Still fighting zombies?
Yeah.
No good.
Really? Picking locks? That way we picked locks in 3. That was really neat. I like that. You want to do that? Come on. I got some arrows. Let's go.
You know. I got to do some quick Gamefly management because now that I've sent Hawks back, the first thing on my list is Klonoa, which according to them shipped today.
Yeah.
And man, I never got to play.
Oh man, you
go on about it for years.
Yeah, you're gonna love it. That's
so
a good
game. Getting Klonoa for Wii.
You better love it.
Hopefully I can go through that.
Did you
quick enough before the other stuff comes out?
There's a story in Kotaku. Did you see the Kotaku story about Klonoa?
No.
They got the packaging and they were going over the packaging.
Okay.
They open it up and they go through the instruction manual and everything else. Well, apparently there's a coupon.
Oh, for
free fish taco.
What?
From no, but it's the place it's from. Is what matters.
I can't remember what the place was.
It's like Wahoo.
Yeah.
Look it up. Because, okay. Like, all through the game, like, when he hops and does things, he's like, Wahoo! Like, he makes that sound over and over again. And it was, like, apparently from a place named that. And I was like, very cool. That's very funny. I think you're going to like it, though. I mean, you obviously have to turn your eyes slightly toward nostalgic type of gameplay. Mm-hmm. But it's good.
Cool.
It's good, and you'll probably like it. You should be able to appreciate it.
And the next thing that's coming out is Punch-Out, and you know how jazzed I am about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I finally, like, got some indication from Nintendo there's actually new characters in here, because I was starting to get worried.
Uh-huh.
It was just going to be all recycled characters. But
minus Mike Tyson.
As long as it's, like, you know, another update, like Super Punch-Out was to Punch-Out, then, all right, we're cool.
Yep, free fish taco or enchilada from Wahoo's.
From Wahoo, see what I'm saying? It's actually very... Very, very clever piece of cross marketing there, or you know, whatever. I don't know. assuming you never paid attention to it. But yeah, I don't know. I hope you'll like it. It's a really good. I would actually like to see it, so I may have to, like.
I'm just glad that he's actually coming out with some games.
I'll let you know when it shows up.
Well, is coming out with some games. I'm very glad that like Klonoa specifically is getting sort of a little bit of attention because it was just sadly ignored. It's a weird looking thing with a silly name.
Yeah.
You know, and like, it's crazy, and then nobody likes to talk about it. Even if you're hardcore and you played it, you don't like to talk about it because like it made you feel really sad at the end. It's when the little cartoon thing had, and there was the other cartoon thing, and you're like, holy shit, what's wrong with my eyes? You know, like, it's weird. And I was like, god damn it. That's really, like, you know, this belongs in a discussion about, like, how to, like, fuck with your emotions in a video game. It's like, this saccharine sweet thing just made me feel really sad. And it's, like, a really hardcore platformer, you know? Yeah. Like, it's good stuff.
We got a Twitter comment from Chris D., who, he always posts the Media Crate sales on COD.
Yes.
He goes through. He loves the numbers game.
Familiar with
Japan.
Chris.
He says, you know that everyone's waiting with bated breath for your Infinite Undiscovery impressions. I forgot I bought that.
How's that for an impression?
I did not. And I actually had a medium-term plan for that. I had never intended to play it before today, but I do have time set aside to play it because I had never played it to begin with. I never rented it when it first came out because I have ruled about how bad I am at playing JRPGs. And then everybody either had nothing to say about it or kind of shat on the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then it's like, man, it's $10. Like, it's a Squaresoft game for... there's the answer. For $10. Like... and, like, I can't believe that it's super horrible. So I'm starting to think now... I'll never know what it's like, whether it... There's how good is a game when it's $60, and how good is a game when it's $10, you know? Like, there's a lot of games that I was, like, really thumbs-downing and sort of poo-pooing when they were $60, even though I didn't pay for them, I just rented them.
But at 10, they're not bad.
But at 10, I'm like, wow, look at this awesome thing I have for $10. This is totally $10 worth of great, you know? So I have to play it and try to be as objective as possible, because all of a sudden, since the $10 sale, I have heard... you know, rumblings from various people I communicate with that, hey, it's actually pretty good. So, is that because of the price? Or is it because the price actually got it into people's hands? And I don't know. But I am damn curious.
I bought those games, and then I hardly play anything, like, during the week. It's very hard for me to play during the week. But then the weekend rolled around after buying these games, and I put them somewhere, and they had gotten covered up by other shit, you know, and so they're just sitting there where I left them. So I had all these Gamefly games, and I'm like, my list is full, and I've got all my games out. I need to start playing this shit. I got Halo Wars, the Vin Diesel game, Chronicles of Riddick, Dark Athena, Velvet Assassin, and Wolverine. And so Wolverine showed up on Saturday, I think it was, and I was like, damn, that was fast from when they got it. I'll do this one first and put it in there, because I was in the same boat.
Yeah, like, I'll play for a little bit.
I'll play for a little bit, and I'll be done, and I'll send it back.
Yeah, well, that was a mistake, but
that was
first.
A damn big mistake.
You didn't get anything else.
Because I didn't play anything else.
All right,
sat there and played that.
I can very quickly tell you to send Velvet Assassin back right now.
Yeah, well, I played it last night.
Okay.
How is it?
I played a little bit of Velvet Assassin last
night. I just told him to send it back right now.
He hasn't played it.
It's
no,
great,
I have
Matt.
Played it.
Oh, you have? Oh,
yes.
Okay.
You play it up to the point where you take morphine for the first time, and you're like, god damn it, that's weird. And then you send it back.
Morphine all of a sudden turns it into that level in Max Payne.
Oh, nice.
Where, like, you know...
Well...
It's just weird.
It's...
First off,
if that level in Max Payne had, like, falling cherry blossoms and you were in a negligee...
A negligee! That's the whole thing! It's like, I find the morphine, and it's like, press X to use the morphine now.
Okay!
I was like, okay.
If you say so.
Whoa, what the fuck? I should have been moving, because it's timed, the amount of morphine you got, but I didn't. I was just like, what the fuck am I doing in my underwear?
And where's some more morphine?
So I grabbed some more morphine and did the thing, and you know, did what I can do with it.
All right,
I don't
look,
know what the fuck it is.
Chick is like... in a the whole thing is like a fever dream memory lapse thing. Like, that's what it is. The whole game is. So it's all like in this real sweat-soaked sepia tone, whatever. The entire, like, there was no outright combat, which sometimes kind of is fail.
It's very stealth.
It's almost entirely stealth. Has the worst checkpoint system I've seen since the last thing that had the worst checkpoint system ever. Because, like, there's no checkpoints. Like, you can get through, like, a whole huge thing. And again, it's a stealth, so it's all about timing. It's all about moving deliberately. It's about waiting, you know? And you can fail, you can get killed, and then you have to, like, restart from the very beginning of that level. And it's just not good. The morphine mode allows you to... I'm not sure anybody knows what's happening in morphine mode. But basically, you get so high that you can run right up to a German in your underwear and stab him in the face or whatever, and it's cool.
Well, yeah. That's pretty high.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah, that's exactly what it does for you it's so far.
Obviously, it's some effect on her psyche or something, and you can't quite place it. And maybe it's worth experiencing just for the weirdness of this whole fever dream thing she's got going on. But the gameplay, like, really gets down to the gameplay. It's kind of buggy. It's kind of inconsistent. If the checkpoint system were, I don't even want to say more generous, just if it were there to any rational degree, and if there were a mix of stealth and some sort of open combat, I think it would be a little bit better. But it's sort of frustrating, tedious as hell, you know. But, you know, she is in her underwear that one time. There's cherry blossoms everywhere. And I suppose that's somebody's thing somewhere.
Yeah, it was, man, that was strange. I played it because I got through, I killed my first guy, and then I kept walking through. And by the way, it's you press the button, it does the work.
Yeah.
I didn't actually kill anyone. I just pressed A. And then the whole cinematic of her stabbing or slitting this guy's throat played out before me. I didn't have to do anything else.
You didn't have to, like, press A, like, two or three times.
No.
You just had to press
A. If I wanted to climb up a ladder,
see, and Wolverine
A.
is awesome because you press X a lot.
Right? Sometimes Y.
I even use those bumpers.
Yeah,
I bumper all over the place. Well, because he lunge, man.
Yeah, the hot, lunge thing. I'll take out a whole group, just lunge. That's
whatever.
But anyway, let's see how great Wolverine is. It'll distract us in conversation.
Yeah. I'm just saying it's there, and I was like, well, she, you know, there she is, and she's on
the cover. Yeah, you hit A, she climbs the ladder. You don't climb the ladder. You hit A, and she does it for you, you know? So, yeah, there was that, and I don't know. It was getting boring, and then I found the morphine. I was like, I'll play a little bit longer to see what... So, yeah, but, yeah, I don't like... I'm not really a big fan. I like Splinter Cell, but I'm not really a big fan of... Like, Batman has a little bit of stealth stuff in it that what I've seen, and I like what I've seen of that.
Yeah, but it's got the Splinter Cell brand.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, I mean, it's clearly, like, from the Sam Fisher school. Of course, considering that Sam Fisher was very much from the Batman school of things, you know.
Yeah.
There's that whole thing. There's a lot of gadgeteering and a lot of, you know, being a badass. So morphine, and, you know, of course, all things suffer for their lack of morphine, but yeah, it's just like hide in this bush, stab this German in the neck. Hide in this bush, stab the next German in the neck. Hide in this bush, shoot the German in the back of the head with one of the seven bullets we gave you. You know, it's like whatever.
So it's So I did play Velvet Assassin, but that'll be the one that goes back. Wolverine, I'm keeping a little bit longer, turns out.
Yeah.
Because that was a lot of fun to play. But yeah, Chris wanted to know about our time with Infinite and Discovery.
I promise. Like, I'll have something to say about it next Tuesday.
Yeah.
I'm interested in it. Well, and it's horrible. You got to plan. You know, you got a queue, and you got a purchase list, and you got a pre-order list, you got all these things. And then, like, a $10 sale happens, and you go and you add a whole bunch of shit to your pile, and you don't know where to shoehorn it in. So,
I never touched Fracture, and I never touched, you know.
Okay, you picked up Fracture also from the...
For PS3. Yeah, for PS3, I picked it up. But
that's what I'm really curious about.
I totally had forgotten that I had. Also, not from Twitter, but from a listener of ours, Ravenlock, sent us a PM on COG, wanted us to know that the Explosion Man trailer had released.
All right.
Yes. And I've watched it. He tried to watch it.
I tried to watch it, but the internet took a shit right before the show.
Go back and try and watch it. It does show off gameplay.
Yeah.
Not just cinematics and stuff.
Excellent.
Yeah. It's great. You'll like it.
Cool.
I know you'll like it.
Cool.
But, so, thank you for that one, too.
Speaking of videos and everything, I know you guys have, but have you seen, Jeremy, have you seen the Ghostbusters intro video?
I have not.
I'm really digging it. I know, you know, a little bit old from by the time we're recording this, but I really liked it. It totally gave me the feel of Ghostbusters, of, you know, the class, watching a movie and everything. And
was it an intro thing or a trailer?
It was the intro movie.
Okay.
No, I hadn't seen it started off with the original, like the old school 80s Columbia Pictures, mm-hmm. you know, lady, and just went in, just really good.
Cool.
So.
Well, I loved the trailer, you know, what I saw there. So.
He was telling me about that. I did watch the intro, and I was like, the intro is exactly what I would have expected.
Yeah.
After seeing that trailer, mm-hmm. like, but, okay.
It felt like a movie. Felt like, you know, a continuation
exactly
of the series.
Exactly what you should be doing.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's going to be a great game.
I'm jazzed.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So, yeah, well, there's other things going on that we talked about. The PSP.
It's still around?
Well, it's actually doing really good right now.
At the $10 sale that me and James were at,
yeah.
we talked about a lot of things, and the PSP being one of them, because we were looking at DS games. And we kind of walked over to the PSP section to see, all right, what do they have for $10? Crap. What do they have that's not $10? Well, more crap. That handheld is just sucking wind so bad. I don't do anything with it.
Yeah. Well,
what's up with all the big increase in sales all of a sudden with the PSP?
For the PSP?
Yeah.
Isn't that Final Fantasy doing that or something? Isn't something going on over there?
I don't know that you can correlate it. Like, I mean, I know it does fairly well around here as well. Like, you can look at the shelf, you can look at the offerings and be like, not a whole lot here.
That's the thing, though. Maybe it is selling, but I look at the list of games, I look at the shelf for when I go to buy them, and I'm like, nothing here, I want.
Well, then along, but, yeah, I'm just saying, like, we've gone back to the rumor that we've kind of been at for a while now, that we're getting a redesign of the system.
Mm-hmm.
What is it calling the thing now?
PSP Go.
The Go.
Is this the one where they're trying to get rid of the UMDs?
The UMD drive is gone.
Thank goodness.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
I think, man, look, here's the thing, and I'm certainly... like,
digital delivery all the way on handhelds.
Well,
now,
here's
man.
What corresponds to that rumor is Capcom's announcement of releasing like a shit ton of titles on the PlayStation Network.
Mm-hmm.
PS1 games and PSP games.
Okay.
On the PlayStation Network for download. So I'm thinking, ooh, that's interesting.
Well, the people I've heard talking about their PSPs talk about, you know... that it's great. You know, when the PSP first came out, SD cards were, like, really tiny. You couldn't put much on them. But now they've got these giant SD cards, and they can fit a lot of shit on them. And they're like, I never really use the UMD drive on my PSP.
Yeah.
I'm not familiar enough with PSPs to know exactly how all that works, but I assume they're buying shit digitally and sticking it on the SD slot.
Yep.
So.
Which is exactly where... to me, that's the perfect expression of what to do with a handheld. Even with my DS, my DSi... I've come to feel like, I mean, I put games in the little slot on top where games are supposed to go, but in my opinion, that's a waste. Like, mm-hmm. I don't even want to do that. I don't want to carry around, I never carry around more than one game. Whatever game is in there is the game I'm having with me.
Yeah.
And if I don't want to play it right now, then I don't play it right now. But having everything on, you know... embedded media.
Either internal memory or on an SD card.
Yeah, man.
I picked up Dr. Mario from my DSi.
Yeah.
And like, you know, I'm like, hey, that's out. So I'm playing it.
That's
like,
good shit. Right. Back to the menu. Let's play this other thing. Yeah, exactly. That's kind of fun for a while. Okay, back to the menu. Let's play this other thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's shit, man. Like, that's the shit. And I clearly, like, the DS, Nintendo's handhelds are what they are. But if Sony manages to do this, if they manage to have the vision and the wherewithal to actually do this, that this rumor isn't just, like, the entire zeitgeist's wishful thinking sort of coming together at once... if they do this, and if they do it with even a remotely decent body of software available digitally, I see them making a really big leap, at least in comparison to what they've already been able to do sales-wise. Like, and all of a sudden, the future of that system, the system no longer looks like it's on the decline.
Yeah,
it could slingshot back and really become a contender.
Well, do you guys know how much storage space is on a UMD?
I don't know.
I mean, because you have to figure that out.
I don't even care enough to Google it, man. I have no idea.
But, I mean, you'll have to have at least that much in space on a, you know, SD card. So, I mean, if they're like, you know, a couple of hundreds
of
meg.
Well, okay, all right, no. Not just on an SD card, but what you're likely to see is, let's say we get rid of the UMD drive, you're likely to see a significant amount of internal storage in addition to... the SD card slot.
Well, the rumor is 2 SKUs, an 8 gigabyte flash memory and a 16 gig.
Right.
Flash memory.
Built so a 16 gig plus, like, whatever you could put on a card, mm-hmm. like, for additional storage. Like, that's...
And, of course, the PSPs, it's a Sony product, so they don't use SDs.
Yeah.
No, they're right, memory
sticks. Oh, right, the memory
sticks. Yeah, the Memory Pro Duo
Blah.
2, whatever, A7. You know, it's a tiny little motherfucker. But, I think they've got them in the,
32?
Yeah. They've got them way...
Oh, they got them way bigger than that, yeah.
Probably bigger than that, yeah. So, but yeah, it's... I like the idea, and the rumor, again, is that they will have over 100 titles available at launch.
Good.
Current PlayStation, or PlayStation 1 titles and current PSP titles will be available at launch, over 100 of those. And Capcom, of course...
They better put a second fucking analog stick on that.
Yeah, that's part
of... That was not in the redesign.
I thought it was. I thought that was part of the rumor.
That was... No.
That was one of my biggest parts.
There was no second analog
stick. That was one of my biggest problems with it.
That's a horrible, horrible, horrible mistake.
But it was also supposed to include a sliding screen.
Yeah, sliding screen.
Theoretically.
Yeah.
Which I don't even need. Like, keep that shit and give me another analog stall.
Hell yeah.
Or knob or whatever. I have very little interest in the PSP as it exists now, in any form, for any price. This thing, this rumored thing, I am far more interested in. Not just because of what it is physically, because, you know, even an existing PSP should be able to participate in the new world order of how things are being delivered post this rumor coming true. But as it would sort of mark their intention to go a completely different route. I mean, if they brought to market a PSP without a fucking UMD drive in it, then I would believe, like, that they had completely committed their testicles to the success or failure of this venture. Like,
then I would also
hope
shit
that, on the line.
Yeah, I would also hope that they would eventually transfer all their old, you know, PSP titles. Because, you know, there's some games on there that, you know, on the PSP that I would like to play.
Yeah, not all of them. I mean, they wouldn't all as always. That's
true,
a bit of a dramatic
statement.
I mean, that'll never happen. But a significant, any significant amount.
Portable Parappa the Rapper? I would love that.
I know you would. You don't have to tell me that. I knew that before you said
it. Or the Ace Combat. That was a good one, too.
Yeah. The Final Fantasies.
Oh, yeah, the redesign of
any of the puzzle games, and they have a really decent collection of puzzle-y things. Like, it's always good shit to have.
I tried I tried Gun, but it really suffered for the blunt, you know, not having the second analog stick.
Some of their old arcade collections. I mean, again, for what it is, like, looking back to, like, what it is, it's a little portable thing to have with you all the time, and having a collection of the old arcade classics on there, brilliant, without having to carry around these useless, you know, plastic discs. That's all I'm saying. You find anything yet?
What was I looking for? I'm talking about news?
Oh, you sidled up to the fucking PC with, like, this determined look on your face to clarify the rumor we'd been talking about and apparently got lost.
Oh, I'm just reading the NotSafe words, right? That's all. No.
Good job.
No, I was looking at that. We were talking about Splinter Cell. We were talking about our Ghost Recon connections, Ghost Recon 4 getting announced. And Splinter Cell getting dated.
I totally missed. Are you sure you didn't make that up?
Fucking story. No, I didn't make that
up.
Okay, good. Ubisoft was doing their quarterly reports or their financial stuff.
Right.
And they announced that Ghost Recon 4 was in the works.
Right.
Nothing like that. But then they started saying, you know, with our holiday season coming up with Assassin's Creed 2, blah, 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 Splinter Cell Conviction was also tied into that list. So that was the first news we heard about it. So,
okay, I'm a little cloudy on... How did we get to Ghost Recon 4?
I said that in the story, too. I was first up's Ghost Recon 4. Was there ever a Ghost Recon 3?
All right, there was Ghost Recon.
Ghost Recon 2.
Ghost Recon 2, which was... Where the hell did that happen?
Is that Ghost Recon 2 Thunder Island or what the fuck?
That was an
Jungle
expansion.
Storm or something like that?
Yeah, Jungle Storm, Thunder, Tropic Thunder, I don't know. But yeah, that was expansion.
I thought that was... Fuck all. All right. Ghost Recon.
Original PC.
Yes. I remember that shit. I remember because we co-op that motherfucker all over the place. Yeah. And it was great. All right, so I'm just saying, that shit was great. What was 2? We didn't play 2?
I think it was Xbox.
Was that, okay. See, I've got this hole in time.
Xbox,
like, late PlayStation, the entirety of Xbox. I have no concept. Sometimes people mention games, and I'm like, "What are you? Why are you making shit up?" Like, no, it's on the Xbox. Yeah. Like,
does that mean that Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter?
Okay, this is where I'm at. I'm like, so Graw is Ghost Recon 3.
Then when Graw 2?
But what is Graw 2?
3.5.
So even if there were, like, so you went Ghost Recon, Ghost Recon 2, Graw was 3, and then now we have 4. Like, I don't understand.
I don't know where they're getting the 4
this
from.
It's the most complicated, Frenchy-ass timeline in the world.
They're taking a page from Resident Evil.
I want clarification, because more fascinating than the fact that we're getting another Ghost Recon game, which would have made more sense if they had said it like that. The fact that they're saying 4, it's like...
4 came out a couple years ago.
That route, then let's dissect Call of Duty.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, man. Well, speaking of which, you okay with Vietnam?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm fine with Vietnam.
You okay with Vietnam?
See, I heard of it.
No, that's all right, look.
Oh, the... Yeah.
That's the rumor.
I'm fine with Treyarch.
Well, no. We all knew. I don't give a shit. Like,
I can't think of a real good Vietnam game, so yeah, I think it would be.
Even, like, Battlefield Vietnam is the weakest of all the Battlefields,
yeah.
At least in terms of reception. And Vietnam, well, that's what I'm saying. That's all right, we picked up with, like, the whole World at War thing, and it's like, no. Now, I've been slaughtering Nazis for a long time. I'm slaughtering Japanese guys, and I don't know if that's okay. That's like, it's okay. But I don't know if it's okay. Like, now I feel weird because I know a Japanese guy. That's just how the argument felt. It's like we're kind of doing, you know.
But that's still at the same time period where, you know, they're in cahoots in bed with each other. So they're still kind of, you know, bad. But in Vietnam, you know.
Well, and I understand. I mean, yeah. I do understand. Believe me. I'm not saying there's no reason to sort of, like, recoil and sort of wonder if you're a bad person for a second. That's okay. I think we should all do that more often, maybe. But to do, like, at this point, I think it's safe to say that the Call of Duty franchise has handled things pretty tastefully in terms of how the gameplay is executed in these situations. Like, there were no dispersions cast on the entire... It was just like, okay, we've sort of tried to create this war here, and there you go. So there's the war there. And I'm pretty sure that's what... There's no reason to think they won't do that in Vietnam as well. And I don't see any reason to believe that my squad will have to be a part of burning down some South Vietnamese village. I mean, I don't, you know? I don't think it'll have to deal with the exploitation of the Cambodians or the Laotians or anything. And, like...
They can't be over
to the tune of, like, well, we're going to launch our planes from your shit and then forget you exist when the communists come over here and, you know, kill your pigs or whatever. Like, all that complicated stuff doesn't necessarily have to be that. It's a political shit. It's just what you're looking at is a setting, you know?
Yeah.
And particularly after seeing how well they portrayed, and I think this is a valid point, and I'm not even just trying to be trite, they pulled the jungle off really well in World at War. Jungle combat was something that they hadn't done yet. The Call of Duty franchise had been very comfortable with urban combat, World War II to modern, you know, even across that jump. So for the jungle combat in World at War, they did a good job. And that's not that hard to translate from there to Vietnam.
Yeah.
Those types of things. So, yeah, sure, man. Like, that's fine. And give it to Treyarch. Let them do it. Yeah, I know that they... their success at World at War had a lot to do with applying what had been done by Infinity Ward and 4, but if they want to take kind of that same thing and work it over a little bit, massage it and put it in Vietnam and, you know, run that up the flagpole, I'm down. I mean, I'm excited. I like this thing where they bounce back and forth year to year. I like getting a Call of Duty at the end of every year. I could see myself being pretty comfortable with that for, like, a decade.
Yeah.
Assuming they, every few cycles, decide to change it up a little bit. I'm fully expecting a Battlefield, or I mean, not a Battlefield, but a Call of Duty, like, future combat at some point. I mean, whatever. I know that that's a... There are sharks to be jumped before you get there, but...
I almost wish that, instead of Vietnam, they would do a South Korean first. You know, just like... Cause, you know,
that's
they
just
because
you were just in Korea.
No,
God damn it! Hold on.
And on that note... And we're back.
Wikipedia.
That was the weather, by the way. Scott cut it off. I want Scott to leave it so you could hear the, like, the screeching, you know.
Oh, they heard it before. I didn't cut it off.
I just want him to be clear that I just didn't, you know.
We let it run along.
I'm just saying, like, I randomly goddammit it in the middle of a sentence. And
it was because of the weather.
Clear that
he wasn't pissed about Vietnam. Or whatever the fuck we were talking about.
No, I'm just saying, like, no, yes, Matt. It would make it chronologically more aesthetically pleasing if we went there, but you don't. You don't have to do that.
Where did you want to go?
Korea.
He wanted to go to Korea.
Well, we've never had a Korean War game that I could think of.
Talk more.
Well, from
not really.
From the Korean conflict. I mean, we've had, you know, somewhat a quasi Vietnam. Not. I haven't really think of any World War One games.
Flight sims mostly.
Yeah.
Well, Red Baron. I mean, let's be honest. Like, let's not fuck around, dude. Nobody wants to play that first-person shooter.
Nobody wants
to play that first-person shooter.
If you trench warfare in the Verdun,
you die. Right? Nobody wants to
get over the hill. You're dead. But I mean, I think it would be interesting to have, you know, like, to see Korea through, you know, the eyes of, like, something like that. And or also, I would like to see a good Vietnam. I'm crazy enough that I would like to. I wouldn't mind if someone took the balls and made a World War II game where you play as the Nazis. I mean, you could do that without being, you know, SS Gestapo in charge of a concentration camp. All right, I know, I'm getting crazy here.
No. I think that was somewhere. Red Orchestra 2? That was like a thing that somebody talked about, like, today.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, you did.
No, actually.
No, you did. Just say that you did.
Sure.
I don't know where the hell it is. I'm trying to look on Rock Paper.
I mean, you could totally, like with Vietnam, with, you know, the Americans without burning the villages and being all crazy drug out. You could do a game without the political aspect.
You're
just a fighter. You're a conscript. You're
pretty much right.
You know how the game's going to end.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, with any World War II game, you know how it's going to end. You know, when you're storming Normandy the umpteenth billionth time, you know, in Medal of Honor.
Yeah, but you feel good about it. Playing a character that, I don't know, dude. That's tough.
Yeah, I mean, who really wants to, like, fight on that side?
It would be different.
I mean, I'll admit, being a zombie in Left 4 Dead was fun, and I like killing some zombies. But I don't know if I could have any fun doing that.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not there to help you out, man. I'm looking for the story. I like watching you.
Through my life, you know, growing up in Germany, I've known, you know, my opa. He was actually part of the, you know, the German army, but he was told to, you know, join up or your family dies, kind of thing.
I'm not saying
that there's like
just normal people. But I mean, you don't have to be the crazy.
Part of why it works the other way, okay, is that we can all accept putting all subtlety and, like, you know, Dresden and things like that, and the internment of Japanese Americans aside, putting those things aside and looking strictly at the conflict, it is as close as you can get to a feeling of purity, feeling of, like, we were not misused and tricked politically into being a part of a war that, like, our individual people, you know what I mean? Like, it was not like, yes, there was a draft, but, I mean, if you compare the number of people that signed up regardless of draft, like, at that point in time, it's just how it worked. Like, the notion of service toward this end was, it was just there, man. It was just there, and it was a part of how everybody kind of thought and felt. And we tried to stay out of it for as long as we could, and then, like, you know, but, like, you know, the English are all right, you know, pretty cool, so we'll go over there, and that's really great and everything. And there was this notion, however distorted, that it was something very pure about it. So it is really easy in a video game to just step into the shoes of a guy storming Normandy for the billionth time, or dropping behind the lines in France, or, you know, like, charging up into Anzio, or doing whatever. It's even entirely possible to have that same perspective on the Eastern Front and be a Russian watching your... I mean, because think about that. Think about how Call of Duty handled the Russian campaign. That was the first time we'd ever really been able to do that. And they put some of that, like, strangely uncomfortable shit in there. You get the bullets, you get the gun, you get the bullets, you get the gun, sort of thing. Like, like, you know, with the commissar standing behind
you. If you turn around, we're going to shoot you.
Like, that sort of thing was there. But there was still the whole, like, oh, yeah, the Nazis are coming to, like, burn down my world. So it was there. From the Nazi point of view, how do you really, really express this feeling of National Socialism developed after decades and decades and decades of economic and social disparity between the Germans and the rest of Europe, going back, no bullshit, like 1,000 years. Like, there's a lot of complicated shit happening in the psyche of the Germans that allowed them to be exploited politically and emotionally by a crackpot and delivered into the hands of this madman, using what really were, in at least a lot of cases, totally patriotic points of view. Like, it was... I don't trust filmmakers to do that, or novelists, people that have comparatively endless amounts of time and money to deal with that situation. You're going to put that kind of complexity into something... into the hands of someone who just wants to teabag me? Like, I think it's best left alone. Like, otherwise you sort of do it a disservice, and it's like, well, now I'm just a German. So, you know what? I get plenty of German when I'm playing Day of Defeat.
Yeah.
You know? Like, the dude yells mosh mosh at me, like, when we're on Avalanche, and it's like, no shit, motherfucker, we gotta take mid. Like, that's it. I've had... I just feel like in order to do it justice, you really have to explain the complexities of it, which is maybe one of the reasons why Vietnam might be strange, because it was like, you know, what am I supposed to do in the downtime? Like, listen to the Doors and smoke pot? Like, you know.
And
like,
heroin, bitch, see a prostitute.
And bitch about the LT? Like, you know, clean the mud off my boots? And like, you know, I don't know, feel bad because like... I could have gone to college if I wanted, but I'm really into it. And, like, the black guy next to me didn't have a choice. Like, how are we really going to handle these issues? World War II is easy. Like, good versus evil.
Yeah.
Whether it was or wasn't, that's kind of how we have a tendency to see it.
Yeah.
Modern warfare is easy because it's cast in the same fictional bullshit light. Terrorism, anti-terrorism. That's it. It's that simple. It's done with. This guy's a terrorist. He wants to do terroristic things. We're good. He's evil. Simple. You know, more complicated than that, and people don't really know how to feel about it, you know, and it's, I don't know, maybe best left alone.
Plus, because who's going to publish that?
I know. I mean, it's one of those games that I don't think would ever get made, but I think it would be an interesting...
I'm not even saying it's wrong. I'm just saying, like, you have to look at why we have what we already have. And it's like, it's easy, man. World War II's easy, because we were the good guys, clearly. You know, forget about Dresden.
Yeah.
And stuff like that.
Sorry
Japanese Americans.
Yeah.
The American part being something we didn't consider too much at the time, but you know what I mean? Like, it's easy. The other things are hard. Like, why you're there, why you're supposed to really like to shoot these guys, you know? Why? Because they're evil. That's all. And I think that would be hard. In Korea, nobody thinks about Korea, you know? Nobody really thinks about it. They kind of put it out of their mind, because it happened to really, it was really far away. And we weren't as pissed about it as we were in Vietnam, and weren't as involved in it as people as we were in World War II. It was kind of way over there, happening really far away. I mean, it wasn't really our problem. So, I don't know. I mean, it would be interesting. Yeah, I know. And, like, clearly you can't just jump around from conflict to conflict to conflict forever and do one of these games, but you could go a long way.
How about that sandbox World War II game, though? Did you read about that?
No.
Who's making that?
He's trying to take the piss out of me, or are you being honest?
No, I'm being totally honest. You play basically a resistance fighter in an open-world environment.
Oh, is that...
And the whole world, the Nazi-occupied areas... I think that, yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
The world's kind of dreary and devoid of life. And
Saboteur. So that's what it is. You're right.
And colorless, and like as you complete missions and liberate areas,
that
it starts to get more vibrant and colorful.
That's
full of life and more people going around.
The footage of that was revealed on GT TV last week.
Huh.
I'm down with the concept.
So, yeah. I'm just looking for something new, something different.
Well, that sounded like a really new and unique way of doing a sandbox game and a World War II game, you know?
Yeah.
You got your chocolate and my peanut butter.
Yeah, you did.
Kind of thing. So, got my eye on that one.
No, I mean, I'm with you. you know, you're looking more toward the you're looking into the future there a little bit, and I don't think it's going to happen. At least not with this still ping ponging relationship between. That's not what they do. These guys aren't about being deep. These guys are about delivering like really solid shooter experiences. I would expect them to spend more time. I mean, Vietnam might be an interesting place to go. It might be a test bed, which is obviously why Treyarch's doing it. And that's whatever. I don't care. That's fine. You want to do more or less the same thing? Go ahead. And there are some interesting moments. There are some interesting types of things that could only happen there. I don't know. I mean, I'm honest to God, not lying when I want to see, like, future warfare kind of thing. Like, just be completely imaginative, you know? Because these guys have a really good... They seem to have a really good grounding in the... I don't want to use the wrong term because I almost did. All of the important mechanical devices of war. All of the things that make it work. And the balance between all of these different things. Air power and you know,
how future
weaponry
would you want it to be? Like, you know, 50 years, 100 years, 300?
Oh, well, no, I'm not talking like laser beam future, which is kind of where you have a tendency to go in 100 years. What I'm saying is these guys seem to be really grounded in, it's fun, but a really realistic interpretation of things, which is kind of where I felt Modern Warfare in particular went. I was like, yeah, like I really feel that you guys are using like the right level of equipment and understand the situations and stuff, and you haven't gone too space agey, like... You know, Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter is trying to do some, like, slightly future warfare, but is, I think, overreaching a little bit. Maybe a little bit. I would like to see them basically do something like that. Like, maybe 50 years. What would someone who has a good understanding of the realistic nature of the evolution of combat do with 50 years from now? You know? No laser beams, none of that horse shit. None of this, like, flying in space in 20 years crap. Like, no. That's... You know, you want to do that, you give me 1,000 years. I'm talking about, like, a good interpretation of warfare in the future. It doesn't work, usually, when people do it, but I'd like to see it.
It'd be interesting.
History Channel's done it a few times, or Discovery Channel, and I've liked what they've done.
Yeah.
But they get to the point of where that's exactly what, I don't know ever how many years ago, whenever it was, like, future tech or something like that. I don't know what the hell it was called. But, yeah, they would look into, you know... basically military weapons that would be sort of thought of. I remember when it was prototype where they had, you know, sights on a gun that would show you around a corner.
Yeah.
But now that's out there. That's usable.
So, I mean, it's out there, but it's like, they also come up with like, here's this fancy new, like, flechette gun that, like, doesn't use caseless ammo. And it's like, no, people still use M16s. Why? Because they're cheap to produce and they fucking work. Like, that's kind of the thing I'm wanting to see, is an understanding of how it would really work, you know? Like, what... It's probably asking too much. I don't know. Maybe do something interesting, like, I don't know. You could do other things with modern combat. I have no idea. I'm just saying. Like, clearly they've got a good thing going, and they're smart people, and they're good game developers, so... they're going to do as much with this as they can. If they want to release a Call of Duty game under whatever name they like, be it Modern Warfare or Call of Duty, as it may only belong to Treyarch, I don't give a shit. You want to give me one every November, somewhere between November 10th and November 16th every year? That's fucking great. You get 65 of my dollars.
Can you imagine the franticness of doing like a Tunnel Rat mission? That'd be great.
Hit the dress, I can.
The hell would be.
Yeah. Like no shit, man. Absolutely, I can imagine that. I can also imagine that shit on the moon, motherfucker. Let's see them pull that off.
Let's see. The only other things were some, like, quick hits. I know that Jeremy will probably be happy about it, but the Turtles in Time remake?
I didn't ever do the Turtles in Time thing.
Oh, I thought you did.
No.
I don't know who I'm thinking of now. It's Dave. maybe that's who I'm thinking of. But yeah, the Turtles in Time remake.
I saw that.
Xbox Live Arcade. Also, Marvel vs. Capcom 2 for Xbox Live Arcade as well. What was the other thing?
think they have a Space Invaders.
Broken Steel is fucking broken. How about that shit? Good job, Bethesda. Way to fucking hat trick your goddamn expansion packs.
Third time's a charm.
It's broken?
Yeah, it's fucking broken.
Crap, I'm downloading it now.
Yeah, well, no, I'm downloading something broken, apparently. Yeah,
you'll download it again when they fix
it's,
it.
It's particularly on the PC. It's like, okay. I don't know, farting all over the place and like screwing shit up and clogging the pipes. And
There were two ways it could go. It's either going to come out good, you know, fine.
It works.
Because they learned from the previous two fuck-ups, or it's going to come out broken because, well, yeah. They had previous two fuck-ups. They're going to have a third.
That's really annoying.
That's consistency.
That's how I plan to spend...
maybe with that fourth Fallout...
Not the kind of consistency anybody enjoys.
Yeah, right.
Well, it's one of those things where it's like...
Kind of a watery, mushy consistency,
yeah,
actually.
Like, yeah. Shame on you.
Like, scrape the shit off of me.
Yeah. How many people probably dived into that, or how many people said, I'm going to wait this time and see what happens?
I'm not figured, smart. If I'd have been at home today, I'd download that shit right now.
That's what I did. When I started downloading it, and I'm like, all right.
Well, I mean,
you know,
it's not 100% broken, but it's, like, clearly broken enough that...
They're
showing up on the internet is broken, so, and that's really annoying because that's every single one of the packs.
Yeah, it totally is. Stalker's getting a new expansion.
Stalker.
They're getting a new expansion. We've also got the. We were talking about Square Enix. The
Squeenix dose.
Squeenix dose. The war game, the World War II game. Front Mission. 360.
Oh yeah, is that for real?
I don't know. They showed off concept. They showed. I don't know if it was concept art or a screenshot.
I heard some joking around. That'd be cool if that was for real.
I don't know.
That was the first Japanese video game I ever imported. It was Front Mission for the PlayStation. I imported that and a mod chip at the same time. That was very optimistic.
Mine was I think mine was Metal Gear. First Japanese import.
Oh, yeah?
Integral.
You want to know what mine was? Final Fantasy Tactics.
Good job, Ace.
Yeah.
Did you have your little printout of the Internet of the Translations?
No, man. We were just kind of trying to futz
our way
through it.
I'm not even sure that shit was like really happening back then. Yeah. The full translations and stuff like that.
I didn't know, you know, of anywhere to get them on the Internet. I was living in Atlanta at the time. There was a shop that would occasionally have some Japanese imports. And we go in there like, it's a Final Fantasy game. I don't care that I can't read
right.
it. I can have it like a few weeks before it comes out here. So, yeah, we took it home.
For twice the price.
Yeah.
What a bargain.
You thought it was frustrating, you know, in English.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, yeah. That was brutal.
Right,
Scott, did you see Myst is on the iPhone now?
Yes.
700 megs.
I think we talked about it. I think we talked about that last week or so.
You know what's more important than that?
What?
Mass Effect.
Yeah.
On the iPhone. Here's what I like about
Mass Effect. iPhone?
Huh? No. you can get one. I liked what I've seen so far of Mass Effect, more so than I did what I saw of Metal Gear. More so, I think, than what I did of Assassin's Creed is on the iPhone.
Yeah, I saw that too.
What I most liked about that was just the style. That animation. They're talking about this. Very Bluthian. Mm-hmm. And I happen to have an affinity for Bluthian animation. James said very Titan A-ish. So, I like that. Like that.
Who's the publisher for Mass Effect now?
EA.
Is it EA?
Well, yeah. I mean, EA bought...
Okay. You guys saw the rumor that Apple's interested in buying
EA.
Apple's interested in buying EA.
Man,
yes.
That's like...
They've got a good partnership with their little...
What was that? Was that like a cartoon? I mean, certainly it's like an artistic meme or something like that, a theme, but like...
Joystick.
Like you've got the fish, and then the big fish comes up and eats him, and then another fish comes and eats him, and then another fish comes and eats him, and it's like just like this perpetuity of like larger fishes eating things, and like I'm really ready to run out of fish. like it's really disturbed. Like, the... I'm humbled by the idea that somebody could buy EA.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that doesn't make any sense to my to my lizard brain. My brain, like the brains of all Homo sapiens, evolved conceptualizing things as large as mountains, things as small as little bugs. You know, that's all I needed to get through the day and do my hunting and gathering, right? That's all I had to do. So, like, in a world with quantum electrodynamics on one end and cosmology on the other end, like, my whole sense of scale is constantly strained. But I'm actually fairly good at things like that, at sort of intuitive spatial understanding. I suck at math. I wish I didn't, otherwise I'd be a scientist guy. And that's really awesome. But I'm pretty good at understanding those things and sort of creating a place in my mind where I can kind of deal with the concepts and enjoy them and have fun with it and, you know, watch the universe on the History Channel all the time, which, by the way, those are out of reruns and I'm pissed about it. But, like, having done that, I am still incapable of understanding how something could buy EA.
And the fact that just, a decade ago, they were almost bankrupt?
Yeah, but... Yeah, they're like behemoth big now. Like,
I know. I mean, it's just amazing how, you know, something that was on the verge of just being gone is, you know, looking at EA going, yeah, I think I might take
Atari.
It.
Atari was the same way.
Well,
Atari was very close.
Well, Atari was down to like two guys when they got bought. And the reason they got bought is so that...
One guy could go on vacation.
So they could have, so somebody could have the name. They didn't want, whatever, they wanted the name. They wanted to publish under Atari. And at the time, it's like ages ago, it was like Infogrames bought Atari.
Well, that was they bought it from Hasbro, though. Hasbro bought it as the first one I remember buying it for the name, and then started publishing all their shit under Atari.
Right, that's all they wanted.
Yeah, and then Hasbro was like, "Wow, we suck at making video games."
Right.
Anybody want this thing?
We should stick to what we.
And Infogrames like, "Ooh, I want it. Give it to me. I'll give you like, you know." $10 for it.
Yeah, right. Wow, that would be, I don't know, that's a really monstrous proposition. I hadn't heard that, and I'm like, sort of scared on the inside, like where you're supposed to be scared of God.
Holy shit, you can buy EA? God, yeah, well.
I think Apple seems to be like really interested in the game space right now.
They are,
but they're... Apple is so much like the people who use its products religiously.
Mm-hmm.
I don't trust their decision-making in this regard in the long term. I trust their design sensibilities, but you guys have never been friendly. I mean, conceptually, you've never been friendly to games. And I'm not saying that's wrong. You do your thing. I use a goddamn Mac. Like, I like what you do. I'm not, like, a fan boy, but I'm a fan of your thing. But, I mean, don't get me wrong, like, your laptop sits next to my, you know, home-built PC running Vista, so I swing both ways.
It's like when your parents catch up to the technology you're using.
But it's like, I understand them from a design point of view, I think they're great, and from a usability point of view, I get really tired of, like, sniping at Mac OS, because, fuck you, it actually works, enough said. Like, it's good. It's good for productivity, and that's all there is to it.
But never been a gaming platform.
No, so much of what Apple does, I do have a point here. So much of what they are can be traced directly to their philosophy of development for how they carry themselves as a company. And they have never held themselves, they've never stood with the posture of someone who gives a shit about how gaming works, about how the game space has evolved, why it has become what it has become. And what its needs are, more importantly, what the needs of its people are, the people who play games and buy them. And all of a sudden, like, and it all seems to be sort of channeled through the fucking iPhone, which is really, in my opinion, sort of glomming on to a kind of success that developed around Nintendo's shit. Like, the concept of a handheld exists because Nintendo breathed life into it. And other people have... And at least nurtured it, you know? And Sony's been trying to get some of that, and may get a little bit more, as we mentioned earlier. And Apple comes along with a device that's capable of doing all these interesting things. So
What put the iPhone on the map as far as being a game machine, that was digital distribution.
Yeah.
It was, at the time, the only handheld device
that
you could play games on that you could buy digital games on.
Yeah.
Have it there.
You know the first people who were on that launch list? EA, with Spore and Scrabble and a couple other games.
But it seems to me more like a happy accident than a direct result of intentional, intelligent design. It just happens to be what the device was, and I don't think they were ever seriously considering. No, the same way I don't think Microsoft was seriously considering what the Xbox 360's true future would be for digital delivery. Mm-hmm. The concept to me of stuff like Battlefield 1943 and the full delivery of like full major retail games like Call of Duty, which we've heard about like coming through their system. 3 years ago, Microsoft would have completely just pinched off that idea and been like, no, we're not doing that. Like, that's not what we do. The mechanism was there, but I don't think they were really committed to it. Now they're like, holy shit, like, there's a lot to be learned and a lot to be gained by doing this. They kind of feel like Apple's doing that. They're like, kind of got lightning in a bottle with the iPhone, and it's capable of doing this stuff, you know? And I mean, I know they meant for to play games. I don't think they ever meant for it to be a games platform. It's too much the iPhone, mm-hmm. and not enough this other thing. And I know this is an enormous amount of speculation and long-winded bullshit about a rumor, but it doesn't surprise me, one, with the amount of, like, you know, internet cycles, news cycles devoted to this idea or the idea of it penetrating into the game space even deeper. But I just feel like they might, somebody somewhere might be drunk on the idea of the success of the iPhone as a games platform. And it's like, really? I really wish you'd take a more sober view of this. And I don't feel like that's what's happening. And if they were, if all of those rumors were to be true, and if this is actually a path they want to go down, then the purchasing of EA to get into the business wouldn't necessarily be a bad idea. But I don't know. For them. But I don't.
There's another interesting thing they're doing, though. And I really don't know how to speculate on this or what it means. I'm sure there's plenty of other places you can go on the internet to find out what people think it means. Other than I'm sure it plays into the iPhone somehow and not like the laptop line of things. But they're hiring a lot of chip development people. A lot of them. All indications they're very happy with Intel being like the processor for their computers. But this has, all the indications are this has something to do with the iPhone. And how if that relates to like the game thing, I don't know. But they also recently hired a former Microsoft executive in charge of marketing the Xbox in Europe.
Yeah.
Who did that for 15 years, and he's now working at Apple. So there's lots of little things here and there.
That's fucking crazy. I've always been for more major players in the thing. One hand, I think if anybody is completely willing to break from the pack and get out of this concept of everybody pretty much running the same core architecture in their systems, like Apple would do. Like, if they really want to go a different direction and do something like get down to altering the genetics of what makes a game machine, like, I'm all for it. I think that puts us in a weirder place of,
well,
people having a lot of exclusives, and holy shit, if you take EA and their catalog mm-hmm. of stuff with you, that's...
What's the ratio of, like, games to just apps? I mean, it's huge. I mean, there's, ungodly amounts of games.
Like, this terrible little piece of shit right here, I've got an ancient BlackBerry that uses a phone because, the company gave it to me and insists I get emails on it. But, like, I think of all the things that I would really like to be able to do on, like, a device I carry on my pocket, and I think the iPhone does practically all of it.
Yeah.
And it plays games.
Yeah.
So it's basically, in my mind, the perfect little handheld computing device that I should have if it didn't cost, like, $80 a month for, internet and phone access. I could do without voice. If I could get a data-only plan, I'd be all over it.
Yeah.
I don't need voice.
No.
Need data.
And that's a nasty little, like, I mean, that's a horrible, mm-hmm. it's the ugly truth of that device. I have never been one for really simplifying input devices. Streamlining, yes. Like, simplifying down to the point of nothing but a touchscreen, mm-hmm. I've never been a huge fan of, and, like, yeah, it's very limited. Like, I think there's only a certain way you can go with games. And the games-to-apps ratio, though, is, like, I think that's governed by something entirely different. How many apps do you need? Apps are things you need. Apps
right.
are things that are functional. I need an endless supply of video games. I always need more games. I don't always need more apps. I need, like, if I had an iPhone, I mean, whatever, I don't fucking know, but, like, apps are things that do stuff that's important or at least useful. I don't need much of that shit. Like, you know, I don't need an app to help me find snooty wine and cheese stores. You know what I mean?
They have one.
I'm sure they fucking do. It's Apple, for God's sake.
That's what I love. Commercials, anything.
There's an app for that. Like, why don't you tell me about what kind of games you got?
I got like 6 pages on my iPhone of just apps and games.
That's way too excessive. I got 2 pages.
I don't know. I think it's fine. I would never shit on the device. I love the device. I am in exactly the same place.
Get him to buy the fucking
Exactly the same place Jeremy's.
Oh, I'm going to get Mass Effect.
Well, you can get a refurbed 3G. Yeah. Refurb 8 gig directly from Apple for $100.
Yeah.
Like, that's retarded. It's obviously worth $100, but it's, God, monthly?
It's worth $300 as a device.
Oh,
it's
sure.
a magnificent device. And I'm not quite to the point of what are they doing? Like, what's the mountain I got to climb in order to get officially unaffiliated iPhone? It's like $500.
Yeah.
Like,
it's a PS3.
It's actually cheaper to buy the damn one under contract and break your contract than buy it without a contract.
I mean, you know, I'd feel pretty clean if I did it just by paying the $500. And if I had that kind of money, I'd fucking do it just to make a point, you know? I'd want to go down as a check mark in that column.
Mm-hmm.
But, hey, fuck you guys, man. I want an iPhone so goddamn bad. But I fucking hate AT&T.
Okay, let's jump to the mailbag.
I'm done. I don't have any more stuff to say. I ran out of things.
We got mail. So
what do these guys have to say then?
Jason. Oh, I'm going to fuck up your last name, buddy.
Damn it. Jason, practice the names before
Jason
you do
Pecan?
This.
I don't know.
Pecan? Something like that. Picon.
I'm going to look over there and it's going to be like Smith or something. Jason.
Pycon?
That's a good one. Anyway.
Pycon, because that's the name of one of the planets in Battlestar Galactica. You made him sound like a nut.
Everybody knows who the nut is.
Curiously enough, he sent us the Slap Chop remix.
Oh, that shit's funny. Did you see that?
That was great.
God damn it, that's funny. Have you not seen that?
No, not yet.
Man, come on.
They auto-tuned.
You drink from the internet.
It's like, fucking great.
Holy man, it's like this dude like slapping people in the dick with this device for like 5 minutes. And I could laugh that long straight. It's hilarious.
All right. The next one comes from Alex Morissette. He's from Australia. He says, "Hello, guys. How are you? Haven't mailed in a while. Figured you might be suffering from withdrawal symptoms. It's okay. I'm still here. I hope the kangaroo picture I made is guarding your studios with his little furry heart. Still listen to the podcast. Still as good as always. Keep it up."
So, thank you.
That was nice.
Thanks for the email. Alex from Australia. Then, all the way from Sweden, we got an email from Theodore. I'm going to try your last name, buddy.
This will be fun.
Oh, God. Man, I'm sorry.
Stromberg, I believe, is his last name. I'm probably fucking up the accent.
You don't have to use an accent when you say somebody's name, dude.
He's got an umlaut.
He needs more umlauts.
What should be there?
You're not allowed to use that.
He did.
You're an American. You're not allowed to use that. You're forbidden.
Okay, well, he says, "Hey, guys, thanks for the show." Let me get the computer here. In case you don't have anything better to talk about, I'd like to hear your thoughts on Obsidian and the Knights of the Old Republic 1 versus 2 thing, since they became fashionable to talk about now with the Fallout 3 thing going on. Personally, I liked Obsidian stuff much more than BioWare's. In retrospect, KOTOR's story and characters feel almost childish. The story's like a fairy tale. Almost every character feels like a one-dimensional representation of a certain moral alignment. The villain, Malak, is utterly unconvincing, and his motives are, again, childishly simple. He's just evil. The morality is, most of the time, completely black and white. It's almost comical at times. Just look at videos that play when you beat the game, the cheering crowds. In KOTOR 2, on the other hand, side characters serve a bigger purpose than just having a moral alignment. They have more complex motivations, and they are more morally ambiguous, which is also true for other parts of the game. The story just doesn't save the world. It's much muddier than that, and it doesn't hinge on a single plot twist. It has more natural progression to it. Kriya, I guess. I don't know. Kriya alone is more interesting. Yeah, is more interesting than any character in KOTOR. HK-47 is great, but not interesting. She never spoon-feeds you answers. She constantly questions you. Probably my favorite character in an RPG. KOTOR 2 is unfinished, but that wasn't Obsidian's fault, as their four last months of development got cut right before release. I still think what's in there is better than what comes out of BioWare these days. You can play the first game once and completely understand what's going on, but to figure out KOTOR 2 and the characters in it, you really have to listen to them and think, and there are just so many things you discover on a second or third playthrough. Do you guys think BioWare can do an MMO? The Old Republic seems more like a massively single-player RPG, and their games have never been good mechanically or technically.
To the first point, we have to put those two aside. I'm well-equipped to answer the second.
I knew you.
I am not well-equipped to answer the first. I had somebody ruin the first one for me in such a spectacular way of, like, asshattery combined with smack tartery, like, simultaneously.
It was bad. I remember him telling me about this.
Hey, have you played Knights of the Old Republic? Yeah, man, I'm playing it, and I'm just, like, I just got off the first planet, so I just got to my ship, and I'm just now flying around. Oh, so you know you're really this guy.
I do now.
You motherfucker! Where did I just tell you I was? Oh, so you're not there yet? I'm gonna fucking stab you. I'm gonna punch you in the fucking colon, because I can't play this game now. And that's it. I never played it. I didn't play two because of that.
You know, with the whole, you know, him, you know, sort of, I don't want to say bashing, you know, KOTOR 1, you know, the characters and everything, you have to look at the source material. I mean, Star Wars, it is that cheesy moral fairy tale that, you know, it followed that, in my opinion.
That's a little disingenuous, though, because KOTOR 2 is Star Wars.
True.
We're talking about a complexity that exists in there and not in KOTOR. So you can't run to Star Wars, which is, I know, Matt, your favorite mama, to defend the source material, because the source material feeds both properties.
Yes, I do suck on the teat of Lucas.
Yeah, okay,
but,
all right. Uh-huh. And?
But
have you played them both?
Yes, I have. You know, so and I beat them both.
Just the comparison to both one to the other.
The storyline in 2, yeah, I think it was better.
I see, because I've heard this increasingly, over the last few years.
But it did feel unfinished. It felt totally like you said, you know, the last 4 months just gone. So, you know, there's more to it, but it's like, you know, it's building up to something and then just boom, over. And you're like, oh, okay.
See, but here's my thing, and this is all sort of gathered from what I've read and what I've gotten from other people. I kind of envy Obsidian where they are. Where they are sort of reminds me of where Gearbox was with Half-Life.
Okay, yeah.
It's like, hey man, Valve just like made Half-Life, and now who, like, you?
Who are you guys with the, you know?
The fuck is Gearbox? And like, you're making like the expansion. Like, yeah, this can't be really very
Op
good.
Op 4, yeah.
Huh?
Op 4.
Opposing Force and then Blue Shift.
And Blue Shift, yeah.
And, like, looking back on it, those were... they were not... they didn't do the groundbreaking, you know? They didn't do the trailblazing. What they did was really interesting shit.
And that's basically
and
how,
like,
it is with KOTOR.
Obsidian doesn't have to be the lead act. Like, they don't have... they get to be the underdog. Less is expected. Less is clearly going to be expected from their product than from BioWare's, or their product as compared to Bethesda's. Because Fallout 3 doesn't exist in a vacuum. Fallout 3 is, these are the guys that made Oblivion. You know? Knights of the Old Republic is, these are the guys who made, like, all these other fucking RPGs back here, or more to the effect of, like, Mass Effect. These guys are the guys who made KOTOR. You know, like, BioWare, that's a name. Like, it's an important fucking name, and a lot of expectation and sometimes really undeserved acceptance of what they're doing comes with that. Bethesda's the same way. So to come along and just be able to play in that world, and I would even have to say, if somebody says, ah, it's fucking Obsidian, you know, blah, that may actually be a good thing. It frees them up to do more interesting shit. I'm not saying it lowers expectations from the point of view of the publisher necessarily, but whatever. Like, it seems like there's a lot less riding on their heads, and they get to do something more interesting. They get to take risks. And I'm all for that now, because what I did play of KOTOR disappointed me a lot. And I've talked about it a lot before. As much as I wound up being very, very fond of Mass Effect, I've sort of glossed over a lot of the bad parts with, you know, my memory and things like that. And I was kind of pissed about it at the time. So I think BioWare clearly makes things that need to be dealt with more aggressively. And if Obsidian can come along and do that, then great. And that's just as fair to say of Bethesda stuff. Fallout 3, just like Oblivion, sort of suffered in a lot of ways of like, really? This is how you finished this? This is what you did here? Like, I mean, good on you for creating this world, but really? You could have kind of done a little more. You could have worked a little bit harder. Particularly when you see that within the span of 3 weeks, the mod community has blown your shit out of the water. Like, has, like, squared the amount of cool in your game. The mod community, before you released official mod tools, they had to make the tools first and then do the mods. So they fixed your game in a matter of weeks. That's a little shameful. So, yeah, man, I'm all for Obsidian coming along and being the underdog and being thought less of in general if it frees them up to be more aggressive.
Yeah.
That's good shit. Makes me feel bad that I never played 2, and I'm not going
to. It was good. I mean, and the first one I enjoyed. I came off of it straight off of playing Jedi Knight, 2. You know, because, you know, it's been a while, and, you know, I reloaded Jedi Knight 2, and I'm, you know, used to that kind of lightsaber combat and that kind of, you know, me and my fascination with Kyle Katarn, he's badass.
I would really like another, you know, Jedi Knight game.
Man, I would kill.
Outcast Academy, whatever.
Yeah.
Although, I don't think they'd ever do another Kyle Katarn, they'd have to do someone else.
Yeah, bringing up the Jedi thing, and that sort of reminds me of how we always complained about how having a lightsaber as a weapon never felt like having a lightsaber as a weapon.
Yeah.
Because it takes multiple slashes to actually kill. Whereas Wolverine actually feels like a guy with claws.
Well, all right.
The best lightsaber,
saber realistic combat turned on.
That
shit was money. Them fucking stormtroopers fell apart.
Especially, like, force grab them, then throw your saber at them, then just
like,
parts
force,
fall.
Force grab them motherfuckers and be like, whoa, 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 and then it's like a sack full of Tupperware hitting the floor. That shit was great.
It didn't get old.
Even if you, like, force pulled them toward you, they would, like, you would pull them, and, like, they would rub across your lightsaber when they got up to you. His head would fall off, and you're like, this thing's fucking deadly.
Yeah.
That shit was, put
good.
Together, man. Again, of course, you had to use a cheat to make it work, but...
It was worth it.
Yeah, so it was one time I felt like I really had a lightsaber in my hand.
Yeah. But, you know, coming off of that and playing KOTOR, you know, the controls were just completely bad. And the first time I played KOTOR, I played it on the computer. And playing the computer version is just the bad way to go because
that's the only way I played it.
The controls are just terrible.
Yeah.
You could tell it is made for a console.
Seriously, I couldn't look up.
Yeah,
I wanted to punch somebody in the nutsack because I couldn't look up.
Because here's this
I was
beautifully
like,
rendered
shit up
world,
there.
And I'm like, I'm on a bridge, and there's like all this shit out there. Yeah. I'm like, well, what's down? Well, fuck, I don't know. What's up? Fuck.
That was some dumb shit.
Yeah.
Particularly coming off.
Oh, I felt so claustrophobic in that game. I didn't play it for very long.
What had they done before that? What had BioWare been doing before KOTOR?
I don't remember.
Neither do I.
They were doing, like, fucking Baldur's Gate.
Oh, yeah. BioWare did that.
How do you make that trip, man? Like,
from...
I wasn't, like, really, like, a huge fan of the company, and I didn't chart it through, and I'm not sure who left and came and what happened, but it was, like, it's, when I, honest to God, when KOTOR was first announced, and I was thinking about it, I had these beautiful pictures that still exist in my head of, like, Icewind Dale or something, but, like, with Star Wars characters.
That would have been,
like, all this, like, hand-drawn art, like, you know.
That sort of Diablo wanted, like, isometric view.
I wanted, like, man, a perfect Star Wars game for me, a perfect Star Wars RPG would have been, like, Planescape Torment, but with, like, a Star Wars guy. Like, and then KOTOR came along, and it's like, oh, look at all this beautiful 3D that's basically 100% pointless. Like, fuck you. Yeah, I was really annoyed by that game, so. I don't know, and I did play on PC, so. I kept trying to look up. It's not like I ever stopped.
No, wait, I'm trying to remember. Is BioWare doing the... who's doing the Old Republic?
BioWare.
BioWare is?
That leads us to the second part of the question.
Yeah.
The answer is no. I do not think they're capable of making an MMO. If you look at the number of people in the market who have made successful MMOs, the very, regardless of pedigree, the odds are against them being able to make a good one, much less a successful one. Very few people have done it overall of the number of people who have tried.
They've tried a Star Wars MMO before, and
that was not necessarily the fault of the game. That was I'm sure you've read the histories and the stories, and if you don't, it's an interesting goddamn read. One of the most interesting stories to ever come out of an MMO, out of that world of gaming, like how hostile Sony was, how ham-fisted and brutal and completely
unwilling to work with them.
Well, and just stupid. Like lumbering, like foggy-headed stupidity about how they ran that game. And their inability to speak MMO forum. Like, you know, people are complaining about this, and more people will want us to do this and this other thing. No, man. Like, those are weeds. You need to prune that shit and ignore it. Like, you have to be able to ignore that shit. You have to know more about your game than the internet does. And stop being led around by your fucking nose ring.
Not everybody's a Jedi straight out.
Yeah, that was a horrible idea. That was a terrible idea. Because it wasn't like that. What, it takes 6 fucking months or some shit?
Oh, yeah, it was a tremendous ordeal.
Epic. What an epic goddamn achievement. And it was rendered pointless.
And once you get it, you're like, holy crap, I'm a fucking Jedi. Yeah. I could. And
for
then next thing you know, you log in tomorrow and, you know, everybody is. They're
and then the next thing you know, you blink and every internet somewhere is on fire with how horrible Sony is for managing the game and how they've, like, teleported people from Thebe directly into space for protesting. And I'm like, holy shit, this has gone way too far. I guess I won't be trying out the 10-day trial. Thank you very much. So, no, I don't think they are capable. I don't think they know what the fuck they're doing. From the very first moment, I can't even remember when this happened, but I remember a comment somewhere about how the game was going to work and how it was going to have these AI characters, and it was this great thing where the player would have their AI, whatever, and they could go off an adventure together. And I realized in that moment they didn't have the foggiest notion what the fuck an MMO was. Like, the whole thing is about this great stinky mass of other humans.
Massively, like, single-player online game.
Yeah. Which, like, you know, and you and I were talking about this. Like, you and I both picked up the Lord of the Rings Mines of Moria thing. And, like, I mean, this... And I will very much go to this point. That game, like, those people are weird. Because they're like, if you're a new player, you need to go to this server. Because these are the servers that, you know, you need to go over here. What that means is, nobody's playing on this server. Please come play here. So... clearly, I'm not going to that server. So I was like, I'm going to go to one of, like, the middle servers with, like, a medium population, because that's what I always do. That's really... it works out well for me. And I go there, and I got up to, like, level 15, and I saw, like, 8 whole guys. And yeah. I was like, this is completely unacceptable. I could not find a population center. I was like, I read the books. I'm going to Bree. Shit, there's nobody here. I read the books. I'm going to Rivendell.
Yeah, you see the tumbleweeds rolling through the Shire, and you're like, all right,
nobody's
where's
here.
Everybody?
And apparently to that player base, that is medium population. Well, that's some empty-ass shit. This shit is defined for me by other players, even if I ignore them. The fact that they're there affecting the world, market prices, like the opportunity, things to do, if one day the fancy strikes me to go into this instance, you know? I like the fact that there's always 4 assholes looking for a 5th, and... in group chat, you know, like, that's great. The point is to play with other people. Like, you know, that the point is that there be other people. The population defines the MMO. Otherwise, you might as well just be making KOTOR 3. So, for them to sort of start talking about one of the guiding design principles being ways that I can play alone. Yes, I always do a lot of soloing in MMOs. We all kind of do. That's like your work hours or whatever. That's stuff you do to maintain. That's quests you're doing by yourself.
Until your other friends can join
on. Yeah. What you need to be doing is thinking from the ground up about how to make me want to be with other humans. And it doesn't seem to be anywhere in what they're doing. Not to mention, any all the video I've seen is it looks like 10-year-old test footage out of like the original Knights of the Old Republic. It doesn't look like the kind of tech that's going to create the world I want to be a part of. I just don't get the feeling that these guys know how to build a world I already didn't like very well into something that thousands and thousands of people are going to want to participate in simultaneously. It doesn't feel like that to me at all. It seems, you know...
I'm worried that they're going to do the same thing that Sony did with... since it is set in the Tales of the Jedi era, you know, the Old Republic, where there are thousands of Jedis running around, that everyone's just going to have a lightsaber.
Well, and no, I mean, I think that's fine. I actually think that's perfectly fine.
If it's from the get-go?
Because the fiction... It's bracketed within a period where there's fiction where it's possible that there are endless numbers of nameless lightsaber-wielding, you know, force-casting assholes running around. That's great. That's actually a really good idea. They sort of did an end run around that whole Star Wars Galaxies problem of, okay, clearly they made a marketing decision to give everybody a lightsaber. Why don't we just... We've already got a time period at our disposal where everybody had a lightsaber. Let's just put it there. I think that's fine. That's perfectly... That's okay. The fact that it's going to be balanced around the fact that some guys don't have lightsabers, you know, and they're going to be blocking my lightsaber with, I don't know, sharp sticks or whatever. That's sort of stupid, but... No, my general feeling is that they are in way over their heads. And that they're pissing away a lot of money. They should... I just don't get the feeling that they're equipped to do what they are doing.
Should give up the Old Republic and make a Mass Effect MMO.
Man, you need to shut up about that because we're already over 2 hours. I've been on that tip since...
One.
Since I had my first goddamn conversation with Joker on the Normandy. I was like, hey, Joker, what do you say to an MMO? Let's fly this bitch to another server.
Like, well, hell, you were talking about that before Mass Effect came out.
Yeah, that shit really struck me, man. Yeah. Like, I was like, actually, that's right, because I read their cheesy little prequel novel.
Yeah.
Like, it was cheesy, but I gotta say, like, that's a really good way, and they're pulling the same thing for Dragon Age.
Oh, really?
Prequel novel.
Yeah. Okay.
It, basically much the same way that that they did it with Mass Effect. I was like, this is a really good way to tell me what your world is, without sort of soaking me in it for the first 3 hours of the gameplay. Like, it was really helpful to me. I liked it a lot. And hopefully it kind of thing catches on, you know?
Yeah.
Actually, you should, like, make it a pre-order bonus where you get that shit for free or something, you know, instead of having to go out and buy it. I mean, it wasn't a terrific novel or anything, but...
It introduced you to what they were
about. It worked, and I was like, wow, this is a really good piece of believable sci-fi world building. I would like to play in this. You know, a little thing here, a piece of technology there, blah, 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 we found something on Mars, and all of a sudden you've got the whole galaxy to explore. It's really simple. It's like sea monkeys for science fiction. You just add water, and all of a sudden there's shit everywhere. Like, I love it. That's why sci-fi is so great. I've been kind of like, had that bug in me for a long time about Mass Effect being an MMO. I don't think it'll happen, but...
Probably not.
It would be a good one.
Yeah,
it would be a good starting point. Better than KOTOR, I think. Star Wars just played out shit.
Final
We're
email.
At 207.
Yeah, we need to wrap it up. Jeff Posey, Nabokov fan.
Hey, man, I'm sorry, okay? Look, I said he was fucking pissed at me because I said he was an adequate sniper. And I was like, dude, I obviously have this thing for hyperbole, right? Like, yes, you can go like 20 and 5, you know, on the map. Like, I get it, you know, and you damn well should be going 20 and 5 if you're a sniper. I'm just saying. I'm out there with the goddamn fucking burp gun, like, you know, with my 3-2 KD. I'm like running up and sucking on everybody else's muzzles and getting shot in the ball sack over and over again. So, we're working against a completely opposing, you know, I'm just saying, he was fucking pissed at me. He was like, I'm gonna snipe you in the goddamn face. I'm adequate? What the fuck? I was like, God damn it. I didn't mean it like that.
Well, he sent us an email now 40 minutes ago after we had just gotten done talking about what he emailed us about, which is amazing. He said, here's a new story to start off the rant fest. Please give this dev a new orifice. They have earned it. and it was the broken steel being broken.
Yeah, man, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm with you next time.
We'll take him on this.
I'll talk to you about it later.
Yeah, from my side of things, and you know what I've been through, it isn't a matter of Games for Windows being shitty. It's a matter of Bethesda letting it get so bad and dirty that their game, the only one to do it on PC, is practically broken because of it.
Yeah.
So.
And not to mention the fact that, and I've paid for them and everything, and like we all sort of grudgingly go along with it because we can't claim total ignorance, but it's like your expansion material is kind of shitty, man. Like Anchorage was a real letdown, and like the Pit is like some severely bland shit so far that introduces more bugs than any sort of associated patch has solved. And it's like, god damn it, guys! Like you're not doing really well right now. Like it's really you're not doing well at all.
Yeah.
You're certainly not building a lot of goodwill toward whatever you're working on next. Of course, I recall that we said very much the same thing when Oblivion came out, and that didn't change shit when it came to buying Fallout 3, so I only eat my words in another 4 years. But, yeah, I mean, I didn't feel quite as strongly as he did. I haven't finished The Pit, though. I put that off so I'd have something to get me to level 30.
I finished it.
Yeah.
It was a mission.
Yeah.
I got some weapons, too.
Again, I implore you, go visit some Fallout3Nexus.com. Those motherfuckers are putting together some, like, next-level shit in their spare time.
I'm thinking about just buying it on the PC so I can do the mods.
I would. I mean, I would. No bullshit. There is a lot of added value by fucking around with the mods. Those motherfuckers know what they're doing.
Fans
because they
treat
have, like, a
well.
Lot of, like, misdirected angst and anger and yearning to see something very particular, and so they put it out there. I'm just saying, like, I promise you that my Arafu is nothing like your Arafu.
I bet it's
my Arafu has grown significantly and advanced ever since I got rid of that vampire shit they were dealing with. I'm just saying, like, I've got a special entrance to that shit, motherfucker.
Mine looks the same.
Yeah. I got all sorts of crazy shit happening.
Hey-o.
I got a laser sniper rifle. You don't have one of those.
No.
All right, well, thanks for the emails. Show note, never bring up Star Wars topic with Matt in the room when we're already an hour and 30 minutes into the show.
Whatever, we're one a week now. You can't cry over going 2 hours and 15 minutes.
My ass hurts. I'm tired of sitting here. And I'm hungry. Anyway, if you want to get in touch with us, everyone at ingamechat.net, or as you've heard tonight, Twitter, you can do it that way too. So,
I'm just saying, Tuesday night's about 7 o'clock. You want to drop a Twitter on us? You want to influence the course of the show?
That's exactly how you can do it.
Yeah.
It's been done twice now, so thank you. But yeah, that's it. RJ was here tonight. You didn't hear him, but RJ was here tonight.
You got to pull shit out of this man sometimes. What are you looking at me for?
Because you're looking at me.
Hey!
The only time he talked was the time I had to turn off the audio because the damn thing was going off. That's when he talked, because we brought up something, and he's like, oh yeah, that was the best weapon in the game. And then he hit the recording button, and he shut the fuck up. So, anyway, just wanted to acknowledge his existence.
We like having him around.
Yeah, definitely.
So like, anyway. I don't know.
That's it. We will see you later on, and bye. I don't know why I wave every time I do it. I want a girl with lips like morphine. Knock me out every time they touch me. I wanna feel a kiss just crush me and break me.
And now a peek into the universally acclaimed internet audio whimsy, the Fudcast.
So I'm going to the mall to go get a game, and I'm wandering around, and I decided on getting a copy of Animal Crossing. So I take the game over to the guy, and he's trying not to laugh at me. So I ask him, hey, dude, what's the problem? And he's like, nothing, you just look a little old to be in the third grade.
Wow, apparently he knows what a lot of third graders like, I guess. What'd you tell him?
I told him I hoped his mother died like those guys in Indiana Jones.
Which guys?
When they open the ark.
Oh my god. Yeah, hopefully.
Fudcast. In-depth game analysis every other Sunday at gameradio.us.